This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor, and he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression, along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming, or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call him the Dork.
Mike Parenti.
But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. It's just keeping me hooks off. By catching any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you.
And you never know who else might stop by.
You're a sexual dynamo. Most guys couldn't even handle you. I've been reading books on the outside just so I can keep up with you.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here, save Eric. So it's a good day. No, I'm only kidding. It's election day here in the United States of America, and even if you don't live in America or listen to the show, it's still a big day. So lead off with that. But we're here to talk about the Patriots, and I think a maddening loss. And I don't mean John Madden. I mean... emotionally maddening loss. And we're going to talk about that today. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And guys, the good news, well, the bad news is that the Patriots lost the game, okay? That's the bad news. The good news is I think fans finally realized the problem isn't Castle.
Right.
Okay? I mean, yes. he was great.
I don't see how he could even be on the list of any.
No.
Forget about the top 10. Any list of the problems on Sunday.
I thought, he's getting better every week. I mean, I think last week, technically, he statistically had his best game, but I think this week was just as good.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was even better this week.
His first sackless game?
I think the game plan was perfect for, this game going in against the Colts on the road, desperate team. You know they were going to be fired up. I think the game plan was great. I think he executed it perfectly. But I think, two or three situations, and I won't say plays because I think some situations really were the downfall.
Well, once again, though, Fred, it was executed perfectly until they got inside the 20-yard line.
That's the one.
He still needs to work on that problem.
And so I understand. I agree with you that. It's not the most devastating loss in the world because they didn't get blown off the field like they did twice before that, but it's still frustrating, and it's still not a positive sign because they went 1-for-4 in the red zone, and that has to change. They don't have the firepower, and sometimes you play teams where you can't leave points on the field like that.
Absolutely.
And that was one of those games.
If you convert one of those three field goals into a touchdown, it's a whole different game. But beyond that, I think that he played well. A lot of criticism on the coaching. The coaching staff is getting pointed at. I'm not sure if that's fair. I think it's fair.
I think they got
put into some situations that were kind of like catch 22s.
But
like
they didn't react well.
Well, we'll talk about.
And we usually.
I want to break down those.
We've raved for years about how they're the most prepared team. That every situation they handle it better than anyone. So. When they don't handle those situations well, we need to say they didn't handle them
well. I think we need to look at each of those situations and see what their options were and really talk about it, and analyze it. Because I think that they might have been a victim of circumstances for at least two of those.
Two gender.
So I
want to get to that, and I also want to stress that, and we have you mentioned that it was nice that we finally are not getting emails wondering what Matt Castle's doing. We did get some emails that were highly critical of the coaching staff and the decisions that we're going to talk about. I want to stress that we don't necessarily – I think there were some things that could have been handled better. I think we all agree on that. But we were also talking off the air, Fred, before we came down here. I mean, I think Bill Belichick and his preparation, his staff and whatnot, without question right now, the best in football. So just because we're saying that there might have been some things that could have been done differently doesn't mean that we're going with the fans are killing them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think they're
them.
Really kind of jumping
overboard.
Off the deep
it's
end
going
there.
Overboard.
That's what they do, though. They just find a different target.
I know. But, again, I think we need to look at each one of these situations and talk about them in depth because I don't think you can lump the whole game in and say that was a poorly coached team. I think let's start with the preparation. I think this was the perfect game plan for this team.
I think it was a good game plan. I'm not ready to say perfect.
You're not saying perfect.
I like a lot of what they did in terms of to pound away with the running game and make sure that you did that and control the clock because you knew that you were going to have a hard time slowing Manning down, and you were right. They had a hard time slowing Manning down. So they wanted to make sure they controlled the clock, and they did a very good job of that. But with Indianapolis' secondary banged up even worse than the Patriots was, believe it or not, everybody was worried about how the Patriots' secondary was going to respond. Indy came out with worse secondary personnel than the Patriots did, and really they took one shot the whole game to really exploit that. And I thought that was a little strange. So very good game plan, but I'm not ready to say perfect. I think they would have mixed in a little bit more Randy Moss. And I don't care that they were doubling him up. They always double him up. They always have safety help on Randy Moss. I think they needed to try to make a play with
him.
Well,
I agree with Paul, though, because even though the Colts played a lot of zone on Sunday, at times you have to trust your receivers to get open. You have to trust your line to protect.
You know?
In other words, if you protect well enough and long enough, somebody is eventually going to get open back there if you have good enough receivers. You have to take chances and let those guys do their work back there instead of just saying, well, screw it, they're playing zone, we got to run it.
But I think that the Patriots, and I think the Colts were thinking the same way, but let's focus on the Patriots.
The Colts definitely thought the same way, and I disagree with their game plan reason.
But I think both teams, especially the Patriots, figured this is going to come down to a couple plays. Yeah, we'd like to take shots, but, you know, until we know it's going to have a 60% or better chance of work, we don't want to waste a play because we need to extend these drives, and we can't just have a play that garners nothing. You know, we have to have positive plays on every down. And I think that was their thinking, you know, and that's what made the Gaffney drop so bad, because you were building up to that all game, pecking. Finally, the guy, you send him on a fly pattern, he's wide open because the safeties are playing up. And he drops the ball. I mean, that would have changed the game, I really think.
If you had hit that, no question.
That changes the game.
That's a huge play.
Yeah.
Felt that way because he was very distraught post-game.
He should.
But the way Fred described it,
But he manned up. He said, I dropped it. I'm not going to make an excuse. I respect guys that sit there. Not all guys sit in front of their locker and answer questions after making a game-changing drop.
And say it was my fault.
Right. I mean, so you have to give him the – and
absolutely.
I actually said to Eric
– I'm not ready to cut him.
I have gained more respect for this team this year than I think I've ever had in the past, because I think they've handled themselves very well through adversity, blowouts, dropped balls, penalties. Pretty much everyone who's had those types of opportunities to screw up and then man up this year has done that. And I don't think we've always seen that from the Patriots in the past. And I've gained a lot of respect for this team this year.
Well, I don't know. I think that this is a team that always –
See, I disagree. I've seen the offensive line get their helmets handed to them and then not talk.
That's exactly
this year. Guys that have had their helmets handed to them have talked, have said, "I screwed up. We lost. I got beat."
One guy that
I'll give you that they don't talk sometimes.
In San Diego was Delta O'Neill, I think, didn't talk.
But even he didn't. Like every person that came up to him and said, "Are you talking?" He just gave them like the "No, not tonight" kind of. I'll cry if I talk, basically, as Faye said. I just don't have it in me right now to talk. Even he did it in a way that you didn't think he was sulking. You felt he was not emotionally prepared to defend himself at that point.
Yeah, nothing like the Miami game a couple of years ago when the whole O-line left the locker room and left Steve
Or
Neal
Brady
there
when he said, you know, that short press conference after the Colts.
Indianapolis game when he said something about,
these guys have all
I don't have anything good
this.
To say, don't say it, and he left.
And I respect that because it hasn't been an easy season, and I don't think it'll be an easy season moving forward.
The way, Fred, that you talked about that play with Gaffney, I think, is really important, because it's one thing to just say, well, he dropped an easy touchdown pass, but they worked so hard,
right.
I thought, all night
yep.
to set that situation up. And
it's like me when I do my joke and I do the build-up and I do the build-up and I screw up the punchline. It was the same thing.
Yeah, but Gaffney usually makes big plays. You never get the joke right.
That was an enormous play in the scheme of that game.
But he does. I'm being a little bit serious there.
Gaffney doesn't.
He's had limited opportunities.
Yeah.
But last year, every time Brady went to him in a key situation late in the game,
no,
he
right.
caught it for a touchdown that won the game.
You're right. That's what it made it even more frustrating.
And he said that. He said, this team counts at me at times in games to make a couple plays,
right.
and I he said, I've done a good job in the past doing that. I pride myself
right.
on that.
No.
And he wasn't able to.
Look, I don't think that anyone on this team or any fan should be like, Gaffney's a bum, cut him. Okay? It
no,
happens.
We're saving that for Dave Thomas.
It happens. We're just so used to on this team when those critical times come, guys making plays. So, you know, this is kind of different. This whole season is uncharted territory for us. So, you know, we kind of have to take the good with the bad there. But it was frustrating. The other play, before we get into the coaching, the other play on the field, the Dave Thomas penalty. Now, I saw the play. I would have to say that, you know, I can't hear the whistle. I don't know when the whistle was going on. But, you know, from what I understand, from what people are saying that weren't, you know, Patriots, that, yeah, it the hit did come after the whistle. There were enough guys standing around, you know, that heard the whistle to say that, well, Thomas should have heard the whistle as well. So it was probably a good call.
And to back up Andy's point about how they've been accountable this year, I thought Belichick's answer to that question yesterday was pretty classy. I saw why they called it that way. I can understand why they called it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was
and the other thing is, Fred, you said you couldn't hear the whistle, but I still haven't seen a great replay. But what Paul described to me this morning, the whistle is irrelevant because this is my rule that I want called in this league, unnecessary roughness. When the roughness is unnecessary, and the way Paul described it to me in terms of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis being down, in terms of the defender letting up, a blindside hit, everything was unnecessary about it.
Yeah, he was barely even looking. Mathis was kind of standing relaxed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a hit in the back, but he didn't know the hit was coming, I'll tell you that. And I thought it failed on three levels. It had to have been after the whistle because Green Ellis was down on the ground for...
Yeah, there were too many guys standing around
for a significant
for
amount
the whistle,
of time.
Not to have blown. Yeah.
And when I first saw it live, I didn't know what was going on. And then when I saw the first replay on ESPN when we got home, I kind of thought, wow, that's real ticky-tack. I mean, he hits him, but it was right as he went down. I saw a look yesterday in NFL Network and a different look on ESPN that kind of showed he was clearly down for a while, and Mathis was just – he was just a bystander.
Yeah.
It's like even high school coaches will tell you, don't ever stand around a pile
right.
in football.
Right, that's where you get nailed. So I can't complain about that. That was a dumb move, and it hurt him.
Yeah,
now, it hurt him even more because they didn't have any timeouts left after that.
Right.
And now we get into the situational football and what happened with the timeouts. Idiot.
Well, they wasted one in that challenge at the start of the half to go for an extra 5 yards with 12 men on the field, which I just don't think was necessary.
My first impression there was the same thing, Mike. It was a first down play. Why?
Five first and
you
ten?
Now,
you trust your offense
now,
to get
now
the
here's
yards?
Where you know you can say, well, that was a bad place to challenge. Why take the risk? But the question we have to ask is, what if they thought there was no risk, that it was just so obvious that there were 12 men? They were obviously wrong. But somebody thought it was obvious. Somebody must have told Belichick, this is a
slam
dunk.
But the guy they caught coming off the field was the 11th guy, wasn't it? So weren't there 10 men on the field?
Well, there were two guys coming off the field.
Right.
That's
what the problem was. They saw the second guy and assumed he was the 12th.
That's right. They were actually going to play the play with 10 guys
right.
on the field.
Right.
And so...
I just saw a couple of examples with both times they called the timeout, the timeout they called in the 4th and 1 and that play where it just shows sort of a lack of trust in the offense. I think even if it were 4th and 1 instead of 4th and inches, you wouldn't let Brady go for that. I think he'd go for that every time with Tom Brady, 4th and 1 in that sneak, in that position. Yeah, when he found out it was 4th and 1, he starts to call for the timeout because he didn't think they could get it.
I thought that was the worst screw-up of those two. Because, first of all, as we talked about upstairs off the air, we've seen Bill ask for measurements over the years on plays that weren't even close. So for him, I almost thought he always asked for a measurement in anything that's anywhere near close, and he didn't do that. And then to run out on the field, it felt very uncontrolled, helter-skelter all over the place, as did the 4th and 15 later when they didn't have the timeouts and were sort of forced into that situation because of the earlier decisions.
Okay, let's take step by step. When they had the 4th and short,
yes.
and originally made the decision to go for it,
right.
What were you thinking? Did you agree with that?
I thought it was a no-brainer.
I thought they should have gone for it. Andy immediately said, I think they should be kicking it. We actually talked about this because we don't have anything else to do during the game. This is what we do.
Right.
We don't work. We don't.
So what I agree with Andy that I thought it was the worst part, but I'm not sure if I agree which part. The measurement, I'm right with you. It wasn't so much that he called timeout. because that makes sense to me. He thought it was fourth and inches. When he actually saw it lined up, it was more like fourth and a yard, and it was. It was a legit yard. Right. So he thought the quarterback sneak, it might be too far for that, so he calls timeout. I have no problem
with
that.
Why not do another play?
I can't believe after his timeout, he put the field goal unit on the field. That's the part to me that was kind of strange, and as you guys pointed out, if Brady was there, there's no doubt in my mind he goes for that. But Brady's
that's
not
the
there,
thing, though.
So.
That's why I still think there's still this lack of trust. And I think the times they've used that quarterback sneak over the years, they've gotten 3 or 4 yards of pop on that. I don't think a yard was too long for it.
And it looked like Castle got it
he did
on the play.
It.
So
I think he got it, yeah.
That makes it even look a little
now,
bit
the third time out was Castle called it, right, at the line? Early in the early in the second half,
yeah, they just
didn't
something right, and he had a waste one there. So,
but
that
happens. I mean, that's,
yeah, that does happen.
I mean, you kind of expect that.
You figure you have one of those to burn because you're not going to burn two others on useless plays.
Right. So that leads me.
I have no problem with Bill using the timeout because that's a critical play.
No,
like people, I think are saying he used the timeout and that was now you're out of timeouts.
But
well,
it's not that he used it. It feels like
I know,
he got
it's a
forced into
way
it. Like
yes,
yeah.
It had the feel of a Herm Edwards or one of these coaches we make fun of for getting caught kind of confused and not knowing what's going on, rather than he wanted to call timeout.
But if I'm a head coach in this league, whenever my quarterback or because of whatever situation early in the half, I have to call a timeout. Okay. That makes me worried. Okay, now I've blown a timeout early in the half, so I have one less. To me, that puts more weight on that challenge. That to me, that's the key thing. It's not the fourth and one, okay, because you're in the red zone. You got to come out with points no matter what. That's where you need a timeout. It's Matt Castle. If he thinks he needs to call a timeout, you got to give him it.
You don't need it first and ten at the start of the third
quarter. But knowing that I've already had that timeout that I've lost, I got to look at that challenge and say, first down, I'm going to pick up 5 yards if this is truly 12 men on the field. Maybe, okay, Ernie or whoever, you're telling me, but the refs didn't see it. I don't even want to chance that.
The refs did see it. They threw the flag.
They threw the flag, but then
they picked it up.
They
saw the exact same thing that he did, but then they realized, oh, wait, there's only 10 guys on the field. So even the guy that was running off was allowed to be on the field.
Again, so they even overrule themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Why bother? Why bother for 5 yards?
But you were right to start it. They must have been 100%. We're going
to
get this.
Which also had
there's nothing
to
lose.
You know, that's a good point that you just brought up about the flag, because I had kind of forgotten about that in all the excitement. They must have said to Bill that was actually the 11th guy running off. Bill, we thought it was too many men too, and then I think it's the guy in the way in the back, the play clock guy. One of those guys responsible for counting the players, he must have come up because that's not the guy who threw the flag.
Right.
He must
no, the guy who threw the flag was the guy near the two guys running off.
Right.
He saw that right near him and goes, this guy's running off. That must be a penalty.
There's a guy responsible for counting personnel. He must have come up and said they only had 10.
Right.
So that guy that didn't get off at the snap, he was the 11th, so that's okay. They had to have told Bill that.
Or I don't know. I don't know.
Unless somebody,
What other explanation do you get when you –
Well, I don't think you're allowed to help the coach make a decision.
No, he challenged the play, and the referee goes over, and he says, you know, as he says, there's no flag on the play, so there's no violation.
So Bill would have said, why not?
And Bill, he had to have said to him,
but
there was actually only 10 on the field.
Right, and they challenged it anyway.
And he might not have, though, because that's kind of leading the witness.
Well, that's what
he may have just said they did not have too many men on the field.
Right. That's
like,
true.
He doesn't necessarily, I guess, have to tell him.
I mean, you guys might be right, but I would think that the referee right there is going to
help. He has to explain why he picked up the flag.
Listen, we thought they had they rushed two guys off the field, but the second guy was actually the 11th. I have to think
but,
that.
You know,
it's an even worse challenge.
Well, Bill trusted the guy
upstairs.
But one thing, I don't know about the order of those. Wasn't the Castle one the second one?
Yes.
Didn't the challenge happen first? It was the first drive.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
okay, then everything I'm saying is moot.
Well, no, I thought you were still making sense for a second by saying that you have to just be careful where you use your timeouts after blowing.
Well, I'm saying especially after you've had an early timeout by your quarter. I thought the
I
remember the Castle. I remember thinking to myself, this isn't – they're going to need these timeouts later.
Well, Bill certainly knew that because, I mean, he made decisions based on this is a low possession game.
Yeah.
Everything's going
to
be tight.
It's gonna
so
come
he
down
certainly
to the wire.
Knew that you were going to need your timeouts and everything in a tight ball game where a couple plays were going to be the difference.
Yeah. So, I don't see where it was worth taking that type of risk for 5 yards.
And you see where it hurts, too, on the 4th-and-15 play. Obviously, that was big. And then on the ensuing possession where they can't stop the clock now. and they can't get Indianapolis off the field and get the ball back with manageable field position.
We should talk about, if we're going to talk about coaching maneuvers, that 4th and 15 was a debacle.
That was
to have the punt team run out, the offense run off, then the offense run back out. You don't have any timeouts. You want to go for it, and now you're rushing into the biggest play of the game.
Well, all night
4th and 15 is hard enough to pick up when you have the perfect play call.
All night there was a lot of chess game going on with matchups. There was a lot of running up to the line, trying to get a playoff before the Colts could get the right personnel out there. And I think this was another one of those situations where,
I don't think they were trying to
deke them. No, they put the punt team on them.
Yeah.
No,
the punt team thought they were punting,
to me.
And the offense thought they were coming off until Bill said, no, we're going for it. And then it was scramble mode because the play clock was – they barely got the play.
I think they may have been better off just taking the delay of game, getting in the huddle.
Right.
And going for 4th and 20.
What's the difference?
With a design play, you have some semblance.
But I mean, there is
– I don't think it's a coincidence that that's really the only play all night that Castle was under heavy pressure.
Right.
But there's – everything else we say there's an excuse for. The 4th and 1, okay, he got caught. He couldn't see the spot, so the challenge, he gets advice from upstairs. This one, as Paul said, there is absolutely no reason on 3rd down for the people to not know what's going on. For the headset to go to Castle, we're going for it if we don't get it. For Sealy to be saying, we're not punting. Bill's going for it, too late in the game, whatever. To have all that, players running on and off, that shouldn't happen.
That one to me is
that's
the most
old school high school football
word.
Where on 3rd down the special teams coach is yelling, punt team up, punt alert.
Yeah.
So
you could question the play before. It was a shuffle pass for 1 yard.
On
3rd and 16.
Yeah, but now you're going down the critical of the coaching. To me, this is a major. There's no coach in America
who should be running the punt team on when he supposedly wants to go for it.
Okay,
bad call.
Well, that's
bad call.
Now we get to Paul.
That's a bad call.
Now we get to Paul's overall observation where you think the Patriots should have actually passed more.
I thought they should have thrown the ball downfield. I don't care. 34 passes is fine for me.
Yeah.
But there was one of the stories I read yesterday or today, I can't remember, broke it down. It was something like 38% of the throws, or maybe even higher than that, were at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Right. It was all screens.
And they were playing against a team that had no personnel to speak of in the secondary.
But, Paul,
they took a guy off the street.
There were two safeties. And in this league, everybody stops trying when there's two safeties deep.
I know.
I've heard both sides. I've heard the Patriots say it over the years, and I've heard the opposition say they had two safeties, two guys over the top.
Didn't stop them from throwing 17 bombs against Miami last year.
Right.
It's just, and I think the biggest thing is, it seems like this league has turned into college football. Bill always talks about it's screen passes and bombs. What happened to intermediate passing game? What happened to plays?
It seems
15,
like every time
yards
a team
downfield.
Goes 15 yards down the field in the middle, they complete it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think those are what you need to
every
give
time
Castle
Manning did
chance
on Sunday,
play.
He did. They didn't do it enough.
I think Castle's earned the right to throw a lot more of those 15 yards outs, in cuts, tight end down the seam.
And I understood the game plan.
It doesn't
and
have
it
to
worked.
Be chucked to Moss every time.
I thought that the game, if they were grading out the way that they could have hoped that game would have gone, I think the game plan probably was about as close to perfection as you could get. The two things that would draw you back are the red zone and when you took your shot, you failed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, obviously the game changes immensely there. But I think that when you play that close to the vest, you put yourself in a position. And we've been making the comment all game, Fred. I didn't think either defense made more than a handful of plays each the whole game. Yet you look up. And it was 18-15.
Yeah.
Not a lot of pressure.
No,
because both offenses were taking all the underneath throws.
Right.
It wasn't – I mean, Manning didn't have a ton of balls down the field.
No.
He had a couple,
and
20-something yard passes.
I disagreed with his game plan, too, and I put it more on Manning because I know he's checking into those runs at the line of scrimmage a lot. I know that conventional wisdom dictated that.
Nickel,
the Patriots had nickel, so we have to try to once in a while soften them up and run the ball and get a cheap 5 yards here. But it was painfully apparent to Indianapolis early in that game that Seymour, Will Fork, and Warren were stopping the run by themselves.
They were phenomenal, I thought.
All the stuff that we heard about the Indianapolis offensive line being banged up and ineffective, we saw why on Sunday night. Because those three guys, pretty much with Mayo, shut down Joseph Addai completely. He averaged 1.9, something like that.
Less 2.2
than, less than 2 a carry
right.
for Joseph Addai in that game.
Guyton was in on it, too.
He
was in
well.
The game a lot. He had five or six tackles.
I think Vrabel had a couple, too.
Vrabel made a couple of big tackles on the run game, yes.
Guyton is kind of the guy that's part of that nickel that you're attacking.
He's the Eric Alexander.
He had 5 or 6 tackles, and he made a couple plays. And I think Manning does fall into that. a little too often he forgets he's Peyton Manning, the greatest quarterback of his generation, or one of the two greatest quarterbacks of his generation, and just falls into football 101. Nickel's on the field, we have to run. Oh, they got two safeties deep, I got to throw underneath. He did it. Remember the playoff game here where he never threw the ball down the field once because they had all those guys dropping into coverage?
Yeah.
At some point, you just say, I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback with a Hall of Fame receiver. Sometimes we just need to make a couple plays. And he falls back on the rules. The rules say, dump it off. The rules say, hand it off. Well, it wasn't working.
Well, you know, guys get open.
And you made the point, Fred, about the Patriots didn't want to take too many shots because in a game like this that was so tough and they knew it was going to come down to a possession, they didn't want to have any zeros.
Right.
They didn't want to take a chance that they couldn't complete it and all of a sudden you're setting up second and 10 or right. whatever. Well, I thought the same, only in the opposite direction. For Indy, you can't run the ball and risk coming up with a zero, especially how many times did they run the ball? I have three off the top of my head on third down. Yeah. They only punted three times all night. And they were all on, you know, two of them came on failed third down runs, and the other failed third down runs set up Vinatieri's 52-yard field goal.
They were stopping themselves.
They stopped themselves consistently all night because they didn't really press that secondary.
On the phone right now is Chris with a TIAN. Chris, how you doing?
Okay, what's going on?
Not much.
We're just breaking it down here, Chris. Just breaking it down.
No, I hear you. I don't know. I mean, the loss was very frustrating, but and obviously the plays. I just think with a game plan like that, you leave yourself very little room for error. And I think that was apparent on the Gaffney play, you know, that he dropped, that they were setting it up all night, and the one time that they took their shot, they had a hit, and they didn't hit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I thought actually, you know, I'm not making this a Brady Castle thing because I thought Castle played great, but I thought Madden made a good point on the telecast the other night when he said, you know, Tom Brady takes what he wants when he goes out there. And, you know, the way the game plan was that it was set up that the Patriots were going to just take what Indianapolis gave them. Right. And I was fine with that, but I just think that they should have took a couple more shots, especially even near the goal line. You know, how many times last year did we see just, you know, that fade to Moss in the end zone? And I haven't seen that. I was wondering what you guys thought about that. I mean, were there any opportunities where he, you know, I mean, obviously he's going to get, he's doubled practically every play. But I just thought there were some opportunities that maybe they could have took a shot with him, and they didn't, especially the first half. I mean, did he even get a ball thrown to him? I don't know, for the first half, I don't think he did.
No.
I don't think they even tried.
No, they didn't. No.
I agree. I think Castle, it isn't over 8 years like Brady has so that he can do whatever he wants, but I think through eight games, he's earned the right to have the reins loosened up a little bit.
I think the training wheels should come off
and make some plays because he hasn't made stupid throws. No. That's what you're trying to avoid there is him turning the ball over, and it's starting to feel like he's not going to do that. He's pretty comfortable back there, and he's not going to just throw it to a safety.
No, he's not rolling out and throwing across his body or you know, airman. I mean, it's a typical point. The other day in the Jet game against Buffalo, you see the pass five through. He's getting pressured in the pocket. He throws it off his back foot to a guy that's covered, and the guy runs it back like 40-something yards for a touchdown. He's not doing
that. Christian, you had that play all wrong. I watched ESPN yesterday, and they told me, and you must not understand football like me, because they told me that Brett Favre's got to trust his receiver's going to be in the right spot on a play like that. And that's what happens. I almost wanted to throw my TV. If it didn't cost so much
money,
they
threw the receiver under the bus.
If Obama wasn't going to win today, I would have thrown my TV out.
Wow.
Paul,
I'm
going to
have money for a new TV in 4 years.
Paul, that's why I don't watch ESPN.
Well, I mean, but it could have been anybody. ESPN just happened to be the guilty party yesterday. That's what everybody thinks about Brett Favre.
Right. The Favre ball washing commences.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I agree with Christian, though. I think they have obviously scaled back some things, and I think it was evident on that fourth and one play in particular and a couple of other plays throughout the game.
Decisions are not the same.
Like, how many times in the red zone?
Him those the fourth and one. How about the one, like you said, the little shovel pass to
Shovel
Falk.
Pass to Falk. That would,
I don't
16.
Think that would have been the call with Brady.
No,
I don't
think so.
It would
not have been the call with Brady.
How many times did they throw the ball into the end zone out of all those red zone trips?
Right.
I mean, I don't remember a lot of incomplete passes in the red zone. He was 4 for 6 in the red zone. Four trips into the red zone, 6 passes.
Yeah, they're dumping it off and throwing quick screens.
Yeah.
And depending on miracles.
Yeah.
I mean, and if, you know, I feel terrible about the loss, obviously, but it's a three-way tie in the division. It's anybody's race. The next three games are all division opponents, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff coming up.
No, it's a big stretch coming up.
It's going to be fun.
So,
yep.
I mean, this is a big stretch, and if, you know, if you say the Caps was your kid and you didn't bring in anybody else to you know, and he was our guy, well, take the reins off him now. It's the time where you need the wins. Take the reins off him.
Well, Christian, I think that if they're as frustrated and upset as we are, you know, the four of us and all the fans out there, I think that they're going to have a good game next week, because that's the way this team usually does it. I think they'll build on it. And, Paul, you mentioned after the game, Denver 0-1. Talk about that game.
Well, it's just, it was a game that they were really in control of for three quarters. And in the fourth quarter, Brady threw the first four interceptions of his career. And they lost a game that they probably felt they should have won, probably felt like they controlled for the better part of 60 minutes, and they lost.
And the mood in the locker room, right.
And yeah. Damian Woody's the guy I remember specifically. They had looks on their faces as if to say, maybe that's why I liked him so much. They had looks on their faces as if to say, we got this figured out. We know what we're doing now. This has been about a month with this Brady guy. We know what we can do. We know what we can't do. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
We're pretty good. And it was, a look of not, we played a tough game and came close and we're satisfied with that. It was, we let him off the hook.
You know,
without Dennis Green. We let him off the hook. And I think that was the atmosphere that I felt in the locker room the other night.
Yep.
And I think Matt Light said, when you were talking to him, Andy, something about letting it slip away. I don't know if slipping away was the right way.
Yep.
But that was the overall tenor, I thought, of the locker room.
Well, it appears they found their identity, for better or for worse. This is what they're going to do offensively unless we see some change in the next
three or
four
weeks.
That
will change every game depending on opponent. But I think you found a quarterback that you can rely on.
Yeah. How many times have they switched things up, though, in terms of what they're trying to do with the passing game?
Well, the thing I like about Castle is, one, he's looking more and more comfortable. You're right, Mike. They have to work on the red zone decision-making, but that's going to come.
That's going to get better.
But not only can he throw the long pass, which we saw. I mean, that was right on the money to Gaffney.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to drill every pass. He's got a nice touch. He knows when to ease up. He throws a catchable ball, if you will.
What Gaffney said.
Well, and I think that if I was one of his receivers, I would start trusting this guy. And if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm going to start trusting this guy to protect the ball. And
that's the one that I think is most important.
Right.
Guy calling the plays.
Right.
Exactly. And until I see them take the training wheels off, I'm not going to believe they fully trust him.
Yeah. He's a smart guy, and he's not getting rattled, you know.
And he doesn't appear to be getting rattled, and no. I thought he did. You know, we talked about the Denver. It's funny. His passer rating is going down every week, but his performances are going up.
He was,
I thought, very pedestrian against Denver, and he got 136 whatever AFC Player of the Week. Then I thought his passer rating went down a little bit against St. Louis. I thought it was much better than Denver. His passer rating went down again against Indy, and I thought
he was even
better.
Well, you don't have a touchdown. You have one interception.
It was even better than
you know, you got to look at the algorithm. You know, when you don't have a touchdown and you have an interception, it really knocks down
the Pythagorean theorem.
Right.
Somehow Kevin Falk threw one pass for -2 yards
and he had a higher rating. That's the problem with that. But
okay, guys. Well,
all right.
Thanks for letting me chime in. And is there any news on Wheatley by any chance?
I think he's really hurt.
Really?
That's
not good.
He was playing pretty good too. Okay.
He was. He had a good start to the game.
He did.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. But you know what? It's
we just wrap it up and don't count him for interceptions.
He's already working with one steel plate in one arm. He can't have the other one all.
Wasn't that the first possession of the game?
No.
It was the second that he got hurt on?
It was the second play.
Not the second play of the game.
It was at least the second or third possession.
Okay.
Wheatley?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was second possession. Anyway, it was a good play by him.
Oh, it was a very good play.
It was.
But he didn't play that.
And
a lot of people say he played well. But a lot of people were like, he was playing really well. I mean,
if he got ten snaps,
he got two pass defenses. That's more than Ellis Hobbs has done.
Well, but I think the notable thing is that he started.
Right.
That
right.
Finally he leapfrogged over Delta O'Neal.
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
I think that might have been
completely
Delta O'Neal had a head injury.
You think so?
If they're close, why don't we start Wheatley, see how it goes.
Now,
I know he had to play. He came in.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like the previous week where he wasn't playing until they needed him to play late in the game. So I think they were trying to tiptoe through the head issue there.
He was playing more, but it was mostly by circumstance. Hobbs went down.
Want to thank Scott from Atlanta today for lunch.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
A lovely lunch from D'Angelo's
Tremendous.
That Scott provided us. He says, I figure that today being election day, I'd love to hear your votes for midseason awards for our team. So here you go. Midseason MVP. His is Falk, but it's hard not to go with Castle. Many fans want to kill the poor kid because he doesn't play like a certain first ballot Hall of Famer that is on IR. But when you think about what he has done in eight games, it's really quite impressive. So his midseason MVP is Falk. I'd say either Falk or Mayo.
Falk. I was going to say Mayo.
I would say Falk or Castle.
Because I'd say that. Without Falk being there as that kind of rock, Castle's transition may not have been as smooth.
Could go either way.
Yeah, I give it to Falk.
I think the last two games really have solidified. I thought Falk was outstanding before that, but the last two games with no Morris, no Maroney, and no Jordan, I think he's really stepped
up. His midseason offensive player of the year is Castle. I'd give it to Falk again.
Wouldn't that be the same?
Not necessarily.
I always struggle with that too, Mike.
I don't even want to get into it.
Midseason defensive player of the year, he gives it to Mayo.
I agree. I agree again.
Yes.
Midseason comeback player of the year, he gives it to Sammy Morris. Comeback player of the year.
Till he
went away.
Only
came back for a game or two. That's the problem.
I struggle with that award too because we have this
what is a comeback?
Age old debate is what is a comeback player of the year coming back from?
I say Ellis Hobbs from a poor year.
I think you're coming back from your own inability to play.
Midseason rookie of the year Mayo no contest. Midseason play of the year Castle to Falk in the Rams game followed by Castle to Moss in the Kansas City game for the TD.
I liked Castle to Moss in San Fran.
I liked Castle to Moss in the out of the end zone in the first drive.
Yeah. That's when he's talking about the Kansas City
game. No, he did the touchdown.
Yeah.
That wasn't a TD.
It wasn't a TD. You're right.
That was a different play in that Kansas City game.
I think I agree with you. I also like the one in San Francisco because remember what everyone was saying going into that game. Why don't they go downfield to Moss? Why don't they go downfield to Moss? The game was really tight. Patriots fell behind, and then boom, he hit Moss, and that just opened up the game.
Now, of course, there really hasn't been a launching point for Castle's deep throws, so it's hard to call that the play of the year. But it was a good looking play at the time.
Yep,
Casey wants good too, though, for the sort of theater of it. The new quarterback backed up on his goal line. No one expects anything, and
Randy Moss racing across the Serengeti.
Midseason special teams player of the year, Steven Guskowski.
Yeah, that's an easy
I think
one.
You got to give it to him.
I think he's my number two for MVP.
And midseason coach of the year. This does not have to be a Patriot coach, and he does give it to Bill Belichick. I'd have to give it to Zorn, my guy.
I'd have to give it to
Although
Jeff.
Although we lost.
Jeff
scored
Fisher.
6 points.
He sucked last
Jeff
night.
Jeff Fisher, too. Yeah.
I don't think that team is that good. I mean, I think they're pretty good, but I don't think they're that
Schwartzy.
Good.
Or was it just head coaches?
But the good thing about the Redskins losing last night is that means Obama gets elected. Because whenever the Redskins win on election weekend, the incumbent always wins. Oh, no. How does that work? Anyway,
no, I think
the
that's
Republican
right.
wins. The incumbent party always wins. Right.
It's actually they configured it, which makes me figure it's sort of a cheap PR statistic. It's the party that won the popular vote in the previous election wins again when the Redskins win. So it also it's not even electoral.
The numbers.
So in other words, they had it going on a trend like three elections in a row.
Then they had to find a way to change it somewhere
in the middle.
Didn't Gore win the popular vote and lost the electoral?
That was 2000.
No, I know, but I'm saying that would be a case where they're
right.
So they had to, do something to keep the streak going.
Right. Okay, so that's Chris. Scott from Atlanta. Thanks for the lunch, Scott.
But
what's this? John in South Carolina was supposed to send lunch, but he emailed and said he won't be able to buy lunch. I just sent an email to Scott in Atlanta, but I can't make any guarantees that he'll see it in time. So there you go. That's our listeners helping us out. By communicating with our other listeners.
You butchered that beyond all belief.
What happened?
That was two gender.
That was two gender telling us that.
Oh.
But our listeners do always step up and take care
of us. I just wanted to say Scott in Atlanta on short notice was emailed and bought lunch for us.
He stepped up to the plate and got the job done. True Patriots fashion.
And we hope there's nothing wrong with John in South Carolina that will prevent him from buying lunch in the future.
And
I'm not worried about your health.
And good for two gender to stay on top of that. That's
it's about time.
Good job. Whoa. Boy, that was
it is what it is. Stereo.
Hey, Paul. Yeah. There was a guy behind me at the stadium the other night, and after a Colts offensive play that Mayo made the tackle on, the guy behind me yelled,
Mayo!
Just like that.
He actually said, four words for you, Mayo!
Four words for you, Mayo!
All right, we're going to take a break. Lots of emails, lots to talk about. We'll be right back.
Soak up the sun and have some fun with TNT Vacations, New England's number one local choice for travel.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sackatack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sackatack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sackatack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sackatack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
August 1st, 2008. Hi from Ohio. I'm on the bus with colleague Kyle Passati, heading to the Canton Civic Center, where tonight, former Patriots linebacker and soon-to-be Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Tippett will receive his beige blazer. Tip and the other five inductees this year will be the guests of honor at tonight's dinner reception. Once we're there, I'll post more details about the event and how good old 56 reacts to getting his new threads.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. We're breaking down this loss, but it's a hopeful loss. I think it's one of those, the light bulb went on losses.
Are you saying if you hoped they would lose?
No.
You were hopeful of a loss?
It brings hope. Ready. The loss brings hope.
I agree with you.
No, absolutely. This
I
is
think
one
you
of
found
those...
out you can compete with what's going to pass for pretty much the competition throughout the year.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think Tennessee is going to continue to roll. Sooner or later, and I've said this, you know, I might be saying this for next month plus, Kerry Collins is going to screw it up for him. And I don't think that defense is going to be able to carry them the way they have undefeated. But other than that, you just face what you're basically going to face.
Well,
okay,
you know,
teams.
The Colts personnel, I mean, like, you know, management people there that work for the team, they're going crazy with this whole Tennessee thing because they're like, they're not that good.
Well, Tennessee is really factoring.
I saw you having a
race
conversation
that we're talking
about the Colts.
Though.
Yeah.
Well,
the
Titans have nothing to do with this right now.
No, but
because that they're not a factor.
The Patriots are going to
win the number
playoffs.
One seed, right? We're more concerned
so,
with.
I think they are the
wild
factor.
Card.
I think
well,
this team.
These
I've,
three
I've
games
seen,
are huge.
So
if
these
you get
three
hot,
games are the big games.
You could go to a Super Bowl. I'm no longer eliminating the possibility of a Super Bowl for this team.
Absolutely,
I was a month ago.
This is the most wide open I can remember, and probably because of Brady.
Yeah,
that we're saying this, but it just seems that the league has deteriorated around the Patriots as well as the Patriots have suffered from from Brady's loss. And I agree with Andy. Tennessee, to me, is I think they're an excellent team, okay? I'm not saying that they stink or anything like that, but I don't think that you look at a team like that and say that they're unbeatable.
Right? No.
You just don't. They don't play well enough on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't play well enough on both sides of the ball
right.
for me to say that's an unwinnable game.
And how many times have we seen the top seed get knocked off? And then all of a sudden, right. this is one of those years where then it's just a mad scramble as the other five teams in the playoffs are going to be like, woo, Super
right.
Bowl.
And, yeah. and I think unless something really disastrous happens in the next three games, where you know maybe they lose two out of three or all three, the Patriots are pretty much a lock for the
they're
playoffs.
They're in it. Yes,
yeah.
they're in it.
I think I just want to see a real signature road win from this team, because we can talk about how it's a hopeful loss, but there were still some critical mistakes in that game that made it a winnable game nonetheless, and you want to see those corrected.
Right.
There's one thing to just say, well, we made them and we can fix that, but to actually see it happen. So 2 weeks from now in Miami is going to be a big one to me.
Yep.
But the way the Dolphins came here and sort of laid the smackdown in week three or whenever that was. But
that was just a stinker. That was, you know, like Jacksonville threw up yesterday.
It was just a stinker.
It was a stinker.
Right.
It was just a bad game.
Didn't throw up yesterday. The exceptions are when they win. They're 3-6.
Yeah, it's... Josh,
five, whatever.
Josh in Arlington writes in on the bottom of his email, it says, sent from my Verizon wireless BlackBerry. People need to know that you can go into your settings and take that off. You know, it's sent from my iPhone. You don't have to have that in there.
You have an app for that?
No, you just go in there and erase it.
I think you want to know.
Don't people want
me sending it from
no, I don't want that. I have an iPhone. I don't think people care that I sent them an email from my
iPhone.
But
isn't it the idea? So I'm not in my office, so I don't have my full capabilities. I'm not at my phone, my this.
Is it
but
really a big deal?
I'm not here to go back to you, go back and forth with you for 16 different emails.
Right.
I'm on the road.
Well, I just think you can take that out. I don't think people care where
you don't want to look arrogant.
But I think that you think that it's like a status thing, whereas I think
it's a tool.
There's a practical
it's a
reason that it's there.
How about just send from my phone?
The same thing, though.
Well,
who cares what kind of
the
phone
makes it automatic because it's also an advertisement.
I know. So, but you don't have to do that for the company.
So you want everybody to just change? I sent this from my phone
or nothing. Yeah.
Well, again, I think it is useful at times to know that the person is outside the office.
I sent this from a mystery
setting.
That's
PFW
setting.
Right there. That minute and a half. That's PFW in progress at its best.
Yeah.
Webradiopatriots.com. Josh says.
Fred actually says I would have sent this from my iPhone if I could have gotten service.
No, mine just says my name. Josh says, so let me get this straight. We paid Belichick and McDaniels for this game against the Colts, right?
Uh-oh.
If you ask me, they should both be penalized a game check for giving the game away and looking like a bunch of blank rookies in managing the game. Well done, idiots, he says.
Wow.
Sure, the players missed some plays, but those two coaches look like Zorn on opening night. How embarrassing to do that in this game against this opponent.
Billy Three Rings.
I think that is just way overboard.
Yeah, of
well,
course it is.
And I think he meant it to be.
Well, I think he did too, but we have gotten some others, and maybe they were all meant to be a little bit overboard intentionally, that kind of go in line with that. That's what I was talking about at the top of the show. I think this coaching staff has sort of earned a game like they did on Sunday, because I don't think that it was their finest hour.
Jeff writes in, I did not like the coaching and offensive play calling at all. They played to kick field goals and not for the win. I know Gaffney dropped that touchdown, but the play calling was awful. Belichick's time management sucked. Who cares about the 12-man penalty? Lost timeout for 5 yards. How could we not let Moss play against those corners? Was it his routes or the play calling? It was a horrible game.
I agree with that tone. I think on some level, Bill Belichick had a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is that what they're called? He thought it was going to be a tight game, so he played it into being a tight game where maybe if you hadn't played it that way, it wouldn't have been as tight a game.
Sure. We don't know.
I just think they've been conservative all year.
And we haven't even talked about it.
I didn't call
him
an idiot, though.
No. We haven't talked about it yet, but I thought the decision, and he made it in the locker room at halftime,
to go for two
after their first touchdown, their only touchdown, I thought was curious.
Yeah. I didn't question that one as much.
No, of course I thought it made sense why they were doing it.
Yeah.
I questioned it. I didn't really get it.
I mean, if it was early in the fourth quarter, then I would.
But did it really hurt them?
Yes.
Yeah. If it didn't, what? Because
Indy wouldn't have gone for two.
Right. Well,
it would have. Indy went for two.
It changed the whole way the rest of it played out.
I think. See, in the same token, you can say it's too early to do it, but it's also early enough to rebound from that too if you don't make it.
So, no, I know, but he was playing it like Paul's high school, college baseball coach. He was playing for the tie when he was winning. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was playing to give up a touchdown to tie.
But I don't have a problem necessarily
with that.
You play to
tie the game.
You obviously, you do
I don't
that.
Like it.
If there was
eight minutes left
in the game, you
well,
go
that goes
for two.
The whole offensive play calling.
Yeah, I think they played made some decisions based on fear and timidry.
And it's not the first time.
Although, you have to say, though, that by going for two, it does show confidence in Castle, who is having a little trouble in the red zone.
Who gave it to Kevin Falk.
Who handed the ball to Kevin Falk.
I know.
So it didn't show any confidence in Castle.
But it's red zone scoring.
To make the exchange to his running back.
Which, by the way, he...
Just trying to get
the
quarterback-running back exchange off.
That was a close one, whether or not he got in on that.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Not based on the photo in PFW.
Well, the photo in PFW clearly shows you...
Yeah, you don't know if he got knocked back.
I don't know what happened before that.
But you rarely go backwards when you're on the ground. You usually bounce forward. So usually the photos, if you take a photo a split second after a play like that, the guy looks like he's passed it well when he really hit behind it. You don't usually bounce backwards.
What I didn't get about the two, though, Andy, and your point about you're playing to give up the tie or whatever, but if there was 8 minutes left in the game, it doesn't do you any good to be up six.
Right. Right.
So I understand what you're trying to do. You go from five to seven.
But he was playing like that out of the locker.
Yeah, and he said that we thought it was going to be a low possession game. Well, yeah, you were right about that. It was a low possession game, but...
So it's not your last possession.
Right, and it doesn't mean that you give up
points. Are they really going to hold the ball for the rest of the third quarter and the fourth?
He gave up points with that. And Fred, you said it didn't really matter. Well, if they kicked it there, then the Colts kick when they get their ensuing touchdown. It's 14-13. So now the Patriots kick a field goal at 16-14. It gave Indianapolis 2 points because they went for two, and they would have only had one. So... I think clearly it was a big play in the game to go. Now, ultimately, would they have won the game? No.
If
everything unfolded the same exact way as it did, time, space, continuum notwithstanding, they lose anyway. But I just thought it was an odd decision to decide at halftime that there weren't going to be that many more possessions and we're going to shorten this game down and try to get a 7-point lead. I thought that was odd.
Quick note out of Indy, $1.98 for gas. So we should... Look forward to sub-$2 gas coming up to this area and the rest of the country for all our listeners.
Marcos from Argentina writes in. He actually wrote this in the morning after
Columbo?
The game. He says, it's 2:05 in the morning here. The game's just ended, and I'm really frustrated. Can we just cut Dave Thomas? The whole team was putting together a remarkable effort. Rookies like Mayo and Guyton were flying all over the field. Castle was having a really solid performance, only for this moron to throw everything away with a childish late hit. And P.S., by the way, don't you think...
He calls him a moron and then uses childish in a condescending manner.
By the way, don't you think Green Ellis is showing much more efficiency and consistency than Maroney?
At the goal line, yes. In between the 20 and the 20?
He's been okay.
No, he is what
so
he
much.
Is.
No.
I think
just what you said, Fred.
Talents are not all that impressive.
No.
Yeah.
I think he tries. I think he... But there was one run when I might have turned to you or Eric... There was a hole there, and he couldn't hit it because he wasn't quick enough to get there.
He did have one really good run that I thought wasn't a long run, but he made a really nice cut after he got through the line, broke into the free. But I agree with you.
He's okay. They need to get Morris back.
He's not. He's not. There's nothing wrong with the way what he's given you.
No,
I mean, he's,
no, because that's
he's basically the sixth running back on your depth chart, and I think he's given you more than you could possibly have hoped for.
And I think he, by having him back there, it's showing how well the offensive line is playing right now.
Yes.
They're really playing well.
And you can't kill Thomas because he's a big part of the pass protection. So if you want to skew him for the
It was
penalty,
a dumb bonehead play.
Not going to cut
but
anybody.
He
for
was
one
having
play.
A good game up to then.
Yes, he
so,
was.
You know,
I thought
they had
he
two
and
tight ends and they didn't give up any sacks. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Right.
Right. I thought he and Watson did a great job of helping out Kazier and Light on the edge.
They both had season high for catches, too.
And they both caught 3 passes. I mean, they didn't get any yards on them, but they
I really think this team is going to build on that loss. Al from Georgia writes in. He says, I don't think it's happened until now, and it may never happen again, But our coach, Bill, cost us that ball game. He just blew up in the second half. That was just strange stuff. It was hard to watch. One, first, he completely wastes a precious second half timeout reviewing a play that didn't seem to need to be reviewed. Even if he wins the challenge, the outcome is first and five at midfield as opposed to first and ten. What's the point? Two, second, he goes for a two-point conversion after the opening drive of the second half too early. If we had just settled for the standard 13-7 lead, then the subsequent chip shot field goal by Steven Koskowski early in the fourth quarter, in all probability, would have made the score 16-14 Patriots. I assume that score because there would have been no reason for the Colts to have gone for two after their answer touchdown later in the third quarter tied the game at 13. A 15-13 score would have done the Colts no good. They would have just kicked the extra point for the standard 14-13 lead at that point. So, trailing in the fourth quarter, 16-14, instead of being tied at 15, makes Adam Vinatieri's long field goal a completely different kick. That score puts a lot more pressure on that attempt. Maybe the Colts don't even try it. Maybe they punt because they're worried about field position. Who knows what happens?
I agree with everything up until the last sentence and a half.
Yeah, that's just
they still kick the field goal, and Adam Vinatieri doesn't choke.
Three, lastly, Belichick had burned our last timeout running down the sideline to stop a fourth and inches conversion prior to that last field goal by Koskowski. If he had wanted to kick the 3 points, he should have made the decision more quickly and saved the final timeout. We could have used it later. And anyway, did anyone notice we easily picked up the fourth down conversion before all the players knew a timeout had been called? It's a pretty good bet you're going to convert fourth and inches against the Colts. But after you've called a timeout and given their defense a rest, then sure, I guess you have to kick. There will be those who will blame Dave Thomas for this loss. I'm sorry, but he had help from the coach.
I like to see the success rate around the league on fourth down conversions.
I bet you they're pretty high.
Yeah, fourth and ones are. I'm not saying they're easy, but.
And I'll bet you if you took out, and you can't do this. I don't. And we always make fun of cherry picking stats, but if you eliminated the desperations,
like the Patriots
interception on Sunday, you know, every game probably ends with the other team going for a fourth and 10 when they're down two scores, you know, in the last minute.
You got to take those out.
If you eliminated those and just went for the ones where the coach had really a choice, I can kick a field goal, punt, or go for it on fourth down, I'll bet you they have a pretty high success
rate. I bet it's over 75.
It's hard to play defense in that league for 85. Three plays.
We need gridironmind.com.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's hard to play defense in that league for three plays. So to ask a team
Elias Sports
on
Bureau.
Four, that's difficult.
Guys do that stuff, right?
Let's see. Mark from Fort Wayne, Indiana, formerly of Melbourne, Florida. I love listening to the show. I haven't written in a while, but I wrote you guys a number of times when I lived in Melbourne about the game. I thought the game plan was great, but the coaching execution was terrible. I thought the Pats were way too conservative in the first half. I thought they could have taken a couple shots downfield. Going for two in the third quarter was unnecessary at the time. I was yelling at the TV when they lined up just to take the point. It ended up costing them another point as it allowed Indy to go for two. Challenging 12 men on the field, why bother at that point? They were moving the ball at will. Finally, the fourth and one. What was up with that indecision? Going for it was the gutsy thing to do, and they should have done it. So that's Mark.
So I guess everyone agrees with us, huh?
Yeah, well, Andy thought they should have kicked the field goal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I would have kicked the field
goal. And you were consistent. You said that before the play happened, before the original timeout was called.
No problem with that.
Certainly wouldn't have waited.
I have to side with Andy. My first gut, I mean, I wasn't appalled. I wasn't appalled, but my first gut was, in a game like this, go take the points. Take the points.
That's kind of how I felt.
You know? But I wasn't like.
I could see that. Oh, I wouldn't have thought it was a bad call. If
he's so worried about points. He wants the 2 points, but he's just going to give away points potentially.
And I don't have any problem with the timeout at all. I don't.
I do.
Dan is Mr.
Lane
Boston.
Kiffin
Jr.
running down the field getting time.
I just don't think that he felt like they were ready. So he wanted to make sure that it was a crucial play.
Unfortunately.
Dan says this has got to be the worst quarterback in football and they keep him in the game. New England Patriots football has hit the bottom of the barrel now. They need to decide which quarterback is better. You have two other options and the coach refuses to use either of them. I am a longtime Patriots fan. When they were the Boston Patriots, they were bad. You need a quarterback, not Castle. He is not a
good
quarterback.
Is this a serious email?
Yeah, apparently.
Who's that from?
Dan in Boston. And it's somebody who's emailed before. I recognize the last name. I'm not going to say it.
How about Brooks Bollinger?
But, no, he couldn't be more wrong.
I was waiting for the punchline. I thought it was a joke.
I just can't figure that out.
What did you see from the last three games from Castle that says, boy, this guy sucks. Right. He's the reason we're losing.
Because that's actually why I think they're fine now with you consider the competition in the AFC, and they have a quarterback.
I'm not saying he's a future Hall of Famer, but he's their quarterback for this year right now. They've decided. Yeah. There's no questions asked moving forward. Unless he breaks his leg, he's the quarterback.
You're too far in now to make a change anyway.
One of the things that
you're
we talked about.
You're 9 games in and you have your identity set in place here. You can't start switching things up now.
And there's no reason to.
No, there's no
I mean,
reason.
Let's look at he's doing fine.
Trent Edwards. I mean, what's the difference between Matt Castle and Trent Edwards? Trent Edwards is building a nice career in Buffalo. What's Matt Castle? Same guy.
You judge quarterbacks on when the pressure's on. You know, two-minute drills, end of halves, or converting third downs when you have to. And he's doing great in that particular category, converting third downs.
He just needs to be better in the red zone.
Yeah.
They all do.
Yeah, but so does the play calling. So does Randy Moss going up to get the football.
That's why I said
so
they
does
all, do.
All
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
One but of the things we talked about falls on him, though, ultimately.
Before the game is
if, he's handing off.
We all thought it was kind of a tough spot going to Indianapolis, and we just wanted to make sure that if it was going to be one of those valleys for Castle, it better be a better, you know, higher level of bad than what you had in San Diego. And it was light years better than that. It was not only not a it wasn't even a valley.
It wasn't even bad.
He played well. So I have a hard time finding out where a guy comes from saying that the quarterback is a problem. Now, would we all rather have Brady? Yeah. You know what? If they had Brady with this schedule, they might have gone 16-0 again.
Right.
They might have.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, I wasn't very impressed with either San Diego or Indianapolis. Two games that you looked at on the surface of games that would be tough even if Brady was playing. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind they win Sunday's game with Brady. Yeah. And yeah. I think they might have won in San Diego with Brady.
But, you know, it's that whole butterfly effect, Paul.
I know.
You know,
you're
if
right.
Brady doesn't get hurt,
you're right.
What happened?
You're
right.
Well,
I mean,
you're absolutely right. You can't play that
thing. They got
right.
torched in San Diego.
No, I know. But I wasn't overly impressed with San Diego's play in the game. They hit some big plays offensively, and that was impressive. But defensively, I thought Castle was bad.
And they got torched by a team that's not necessarily lighting the world on fire. They're not doing well.
It's a 3-5 team.
It's one of those games.
And Indy, you know. I'm gonna put the brakes on Indy as found anything because I just think they're completely a shell of themselves.
Yep.
I think they're really suffering from the injuries like everybody else. I'm not making excuses for them. They're in the same group as everybody else.
And,
they don't
and,
have any personnel
is,
to fall back on.
As offensively, this isn't the first week that they're not really scoring. I mean, this is an Indy team that put up 18 points.
And
that's unheard of.
And much like against Tennessee. I didn't really think they got stopped all night.
Right.
And they didn't just put any points on
the board.
They're
not getting in the end zone.
That's why I said to you through three quarters, I thought Indy was dominating Tennessee. Well, they only had 14 points.
Yep. Yep.
But, Fred, the one – I agree with you on this is a good loss to build on. The one thing I'll say is if everything stays as it is, it could be one you're kicking yourself for because it was very winnable.
Yeah.
And if you're in a two-way tie, three-way tie in December, you say,
it's an AFC
I'd really
win.
Like
yep.
to have that Colts game back,
sure.
those timeouts, that
absolutely
drop.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And just like going down the stretch in 01, we were looking back at a game like that Denver game because if you remember, Fred, what the Patriots needed coming home from that Carolina trip, they needed that miracle
Jets.
Finish with the Jets
yep.
to get it. And, you know,
and they got it.
Hopefully they won't need help this time around. But
they really aren't. I just don't think there are any good losses in this league, particularly this year. It's too close. It's too much of a logjam at top.
Right. But I'm just talking about the psyche of the
That's
team.
A good point.
I'm just talking about locker room morale, what they're thinking about
themselves.
Their
morale was good after winning back-to-back games at home, too. They didn't need a loss to boost morale.
No, I know. But
they need a win. A win would boost morale, too.
Okay. Russell in the OC.
Captain Negativity.
I know what his point is.
No,
he's
not negativity. Doesn't a win boost morale?
Sure.
Well, wouldn't you rather have a win than a loss?
Sure.
Right, then.
And it's easier to lose than it is to win.
And he doesn't just – he's not just big.
Well, not for this team,
big.
It's not. They went 16-0 last year.
Russell in the OC
what?
Says, first off –
you still think it's easier to win for this team than to lose?
With this schedule, yeah.
He's just off on one of his things.
Wow.
You're cranky today, huh, Mike?
Colts. No, I'm not
overly
cranky. I don't like positive losses. A loss is a loss.
Russell in the OC says, first off, congratulations.
You blow it like you did.
Congratulations for Fred being first runner-up in the recent Bobby Hull look-alike contest. Either that or he's the Golden Jets' love child. So I want to admit here and now that I was too hasty and wrong about Castle. I think that, like everyone else, I'm spoiled by Brady's near perfection, that it's now frustrating to have having to sweat out plays that St. Thomas of Pigskin makes look so easy. After having seen all these other backup QBs taking Collins out of the mix because he was a journeyman starter who had just had to bide his time since Vince Young has shown to be the overrated fraud that he is, Castle is better than all of them without a doubt. The kid is going to earn himself a tidy raise next year. Unfortunately, he'll be in Kansas City, Detroit, or someplace like that. As for the game, well, Gaffney's drop didn't help, but I think Uncle Bill helped the cause even more. Why not go for it on the fourth down? Why waste the timeout and then kick a field goal? Ben Green, Jarvis, Ellis, Moe, Larry Curley, the cheese, look pretty good again. I wouldn't say to jettison Maroney just yet, but I'd stack some moving boxes next to his locker. Ben Hands of Stone Watson has to be the biggest waste of pure athletic talent to come through these parts in quite some time. Mayo just seems to get better every game. He'll be a monster by year three. And Guyton is really a surprise. Thanks, guys, for such a great show and a website. First class all the way. So that's Russell in the OC.
I'm not sure.
That's a lot.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has done anything to make me want Maroney to pack his bag.
And that seems to be the consensus. Everybody's raving about it. I thought he was just okay.
No.
He's been fine. I mean, considering the expectations of a practice squad guy who was at best sixth on your depth chart, he's been okay.
Yeah, we haven't solved the running back.
I mean, Kevin Falk has run more effectively in the two games that they haven't had a running back than
he has.
Now, in Green Ellis's defense, I would say Falk is almost always running as, you know, an alternative, as a surprise. It's shotgun, you know, trap draws and delays and stuff like that.
Wildcat.
Green Ellis is lining up on third and one, and they're going between the tackles. He's getting the ball. It's a little bit tougher to run on.
He runs pretty hard in the red zone.
I don't like the way the Patriots ran the Wildcat, and I'll tell you why. The reason why it's successful in Miami is because you've got Brown and Williams on the field at the same time, so there's three options. Brown can pass, he can hand off to Williams, or he can run it himself. With Falk lined up alone and no other running back out there, all he is a quarterback. And you've really taken one guy out of the play because you got Castle lined up. Well, he isn't going to do anything.
Well, he could.
He could, but because you don't have that other running back, it's no longer an option play, you know, which is what makes the Wildcat a good play.
That's why I brought it up, because I wanted you to say just that. But
well, it's true.
You don't think they could mix it in, that maybe they're kind of...
Well, you got to have Green Ellis back there with him or something, you know, maybe.
I bet Castle could run out there and catch a pass.
I certainly think you could. Well, certainly in the last game of the year when you don't care because he's like CeCe Sabathia and you're just trying to beat him up for the next game.
Yeah, but you have to get...
You have to have another running back.
You have to get the front seven paying attention to the backfield.
Yes.
You know?
They didn't have any wings at all, right? They didn't have one of the tight ends lined up.
I didn't think so. I mean, the way I saw it was an empty backfield.
Right.
Right?
I think Fred's right.
Yeah. So, anyway.
My guess is if they use it again, it'll evolve. There'll be some new wrinkles.
It's trickling down.
But everybody's doing it now. This weekend we saw another Kansas City threw to Thigpen, and somebody else used it. So it's now, I mean, you're up to like a third of the league has some form of that package.
Hey, I think more of that is better.
Miami seems to be doing it less and less, too.
Well, yeah, because it's run its course with them, kind
of. I think the more trick play, I think that's good. I like that.
I love it.
I don't like this. The quick pass to Randy Moss, which they did again for 2 yards.
And by the way, Matt Leick didn't get there to make the block for the 752nd straight time.
And the only reason he got 2 yards is because he's tall and he fell down forward.
Because he's 2 yards tall.
Right. I mean, it's just that's not the play for a tall, lanky receiver.
You've rubbed off on Eric, too. The exasperation that Eric shows every time they run that play now. It's like, why do they run that play?
He's not the first person to rub off on Eric.
Oh, for God's sake.
I like to play with the right personnel.
I have no formal artistic training.
In the piano.
Tough day for Eric, Fred. He's going to be up all day today, all night tonight. He might not sleep for 2 days, this political thing with him.
Yeah.
He's going to be all worked out.
I don't think he's made a decision yet.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
He was purely giddy as we were walking onto the plane, by the way, we should mention. On the tarmac in Indianapolis was the big...
Straight Talk Express.
Straight Talk Express with John McCain.
The big bus.
He was giddy as we were going up the stairs with that.
And believe it or not, we didn't know it, but while we were walking past... the rally was actually going on while we walked past it. There was no one there, though.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Good one.
Look at the funny man.
Now, where was McCain coming to Indianapolis, or was he there?
He doesn't know. He's.
I'm asking a serious question.
No, he was. That was going to happen the next day.
The next morning, or whatever, he was having a rally.
Yep.
Okay. So was he sleeping in that bus?
No.
I don't know. I thought
Sarah in there?
No sleeping going on.
This van's rocking.
The Straight Talk Express is rocking.
You betcha.
Let's see. Jocko writes in, I was one of the UK Patriots group that was lucky enough to sit in on the show last Tuesday. It was fantastic, and I wanted to thank you for the opportunity and also the tour that followed. The whole experience is one I won't forget for a very long time. And now when I listen to the show, I can picture you guys sitting there, Andy munching on donuts, and can say, I've been there. The only disappointment of the day was not getting to meet Eric. I cried myself to sleep. Okay, that last bit was a lie. So and we had a lot of those UK people
lies.
In. And
you are an habitual liar.
Freddie, how about Texas Tech?
Good game. Good game.
One of the best college games I've seen.
Speaking of see what happens.
Maybe since the Texas-USC game.
The problem with that, it doesn't help USC because both teams were over number 7. So USC didn't move up in the rankings. They remained at 7.
Just worried about beating those JV teams you play out in the Pac-10.
They won like 56-0 over Washington.
They should win.
See, they're taking it out on teams now. They're pissed. But they lose to these teams they're not supposed to lose to, and that screws them up.
And why is that?
I don't want to get into it. I like Pete Carroll.
Coach.
Why'd the Patriots lose in Indy?
He's a great recruiter.
That's half the game.
Mark Jackson cheap-shotted me at midfield.
Literally half the game. You got to still be able to coach.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio, 508-543-7482.
Ping pong anybody can recruit when you're giving out houses and cars.
Ping pong writes in. Ping pong.
Ping pong!
Ping pong! Ping, 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 ping pong!
Now it's a wrap.
What a game.
I had to wait for Andy to do it.
Ping pong says the uncircumcised penis really lit up the secondary and probably Eric also. I told God that if he made McCain get into the White House, I wouldn't care how the Patriots season turns out, but a couple comments and questions from the game.
Ping
One,
pong!
I think the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had a good game.
I'm going to pass out from that.
I like how he puts the in front of it like I do.
The law firm. They call him the law firm.
The law firm.
Some players are starting to call him the law firm.
That's a good one. I like it.
Ping pong. And evidently they said that on the TV. I don't know if it was Madden or Michaels, but one of them mentioned it.
Could you see the Patriots this season putting Maroney on the trade block for a draft pick and keep all the named Patriots as the starting back, the all-named Patriot as a starting back, splitting time with Morris?
No.
If Green Ellis could build on what we saw on Sunday, I think he could evolve into a good running back.
I think we might need to go back and look at some tapes.
Nobody's going to trade for Maroney.
He must be the young Walter Payton, I guess, because I'm missing something. He's okay.
He's
punching it in from the 2-yard line.
I think Maroney, you're just going to have to play it by ear.
Good goal line runner. He's fine.
Start over with him. But I think if there's an opportunity to draft or get a prime time running back, you get him.
Sure.
You get him.
But Ben Jarvis Green is not going to be your starter.
Forget about Green Ellis. Do you think that they'll trade Maroney in the offseason?
I think
they'll try.
I think the phone, they're listening to any offer.
I don't know. I'm asking if you think they'll trade him.
Bag of balls?
I think they would listen.
I think they would definitely listen.
All right. Do you think they'd be
a third round pick?
Do you think they will actively
shop him?
I would
do it in a heartbeat. I don't think anyone in their right mind would trade a third round pick.
Do you think they'll actively shop him?
No.
Do you think they'll go soliciting? Say, hey, what do you give me for Maroney?
I think they'll let it be known that they're willing
to.
Yeah. You think they'll actively shop?
No. I think it'll be a subtly he's available.
Well, I don't mean.
Well, define actively shop. I mean publicly or just go out.
No, they don't do anything publicly.
Exactly. All right. Well, then, I think they will.
But I don't even mean aggressively. Shopping. I mean, Bill's talking to Jerry Angelo on some.
What do you give
guys,
me from Maroney?
I think Forte could use a backup.
I think that is proactive.
Well, I think proactive is there's teams that say this guy's available. The highest bidder gets him next week. I think there's
it's all a subtle way of doing it. I think they want him out of here and they want to get something for him.
I don't have any illusions that the Patriots would be doing this through the media or anything like that.
No,
we wouldn't know about it, but I'm just wondering what you guys thought.
I think he could get cut in training camp.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Ping Pong also says, how can we help the secondary? I'm not going to name player names because you win and lose games as a team, not as an individual. I think Wheatley did an okay job. The Colts are no easy team to cover. Three, I think that the refs were paid. Some of the calls were very questionable against the Patriots. The refs should grow some and start judging the game fairly.
Didn't they have two penalties?
There were two penalties on the Patriots and one on the Colts. So let's take the referees out of this game.
Well, maybe he's talking about non-calls.
Well, that's not what he said.
We're assuming he is.
Castle.
It's hard to see non-calls on TV.
He said some of the calls against the Patriots were very questionable.
Castle almost taking the ref's head off was the best part of the game.
I wonder what would have happened if he had made contact. Is that one of those, like, you struck an official, you have to call something?
Right.
Yeah.
Heath Evans struck the official.
That was a little different.
He almost killed him.
But seriously, he could have punched him right in the face.
What do you think about that, Paul? Matt Castle starting a feel himself pretty good a little.
Oh, he's got
a little more expressively.
Andy Hart feels himself once a day.
He's got a
swagger. Like or no
he's
like?
He's got a swagger.
Is he developing a positive swagger or
I don't like the you know
britches getting too big.
I like the quarterback in particular to be pretty calm, cool, and collected.
As I've said in the past and continue to say, it's my football team.
I love the way
only I throw interceptions for this team.
I love the way Brady handles himself on the field. When it's a truly big spot, he gets
Grambo?
Excited about it. But for the most part, I like
before,
like I didn't like when Brady fell over himself spiking the ball that in the snow.
But wait a minute. You think he did that on purpose?
No. I just
it was a blizzard.
Reaction.
He fell down.
I thought he was too excited. I like my quarterback to be under control.
You can't get excited, no.
I like my quarterback
no
to be under control.
Yeah, players can't stand
when
up
you're in the
friend.
End zone. I mean, it's okay.
No, I like my quarterback to be under control, like Brady is for the 99% of the plays.
Except when he spiked the ball in the end zone.
That's when
he was young and immature at that time. He's developed.
He was.
Or throwing the ball behind you over your shoulder.
Ooh.
What's that mean?
Pittsburgh, Bledsoe.
Wasn't very under control there.
Yeah, well, isn't that one of the things that we didn't like about Bledsoe?
Who's I didn't know you didn't like anything about Bledsoe.
Well, there's plenty I didn't like about Bledsoe. You guys just don't listen.
On the phone is Phil in Nova Scotia. Phil, how you doing?
Phil the Fart Man.
Hey, I'm doing good. Happy Election Day, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we'll see if it's happy later.
It will be.
Yeah, I guess so. I got to mention, there was an email you guys got last Thursday about the election. I thought it was really funny. There was a guy wrote in saying that if that socialist Obama got in, that he was going to move to Canada. I got to tell you, as a Canadian, that's pretty funny.
Exactly. You should check out the politics in Canada.
Yeah.
And the economic system.
For sure. Anyway, my question has to do with Mayo. He seems to be doing, like, really good this year. And you guys mentioned in the spring that there might be some problem with him and Brewski if Mayo was doing really good and Brewski wasn't doing so well. Like, it seems like they're getting along really well. Working together well?
I don't really recall the conversation, but I'm guessing that we were sort of surmising that Junior Seau would be back, and if Mayo was really playing well, it might be Seau and Mayo on the field and Brewski not playing at all, and that could perhaps lead to some unrest.
Yeah, we're talking about personnel groupings, not.
Yeah, Brewski and Mayo have started together and have played, and I thought Brewski has been very impressed with Mayo right from the start. He talked about him in glowing terms during training camp a couple of different times. He went out of his way to say how well he thought Mayo was adjusting. I don't think that's been a problem at all.
Yeah, it seems like they're just getting along really well, and it seems like Mayo's doing everything right. Like, he's not – like, he's playing it safe, but
he's
still
player.
Making good plays.
Yep, I agree.
So, anyway, that was my question.
All right, Phil.
All right, Phil.
Phil in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, don't listen to what we say in the offseason. We know nothing.
We talk a lot, too. We're like Joe
Sooner
Biden.
Sooner or later, dumb things are going to come
like
out.
Joe Biden. The more we talk, the dumber we look. Good news, he'll be vice president.
Let's see.
Fred's reading an email, so it'll be a few
minutes. Four words for you. Mail.
I don't know. Should I read this part here, Gary, and then that part?
Oh my God. No, just the bottom, the top sphere information.
Gary, you know he can't do this on the air. You've got to take a commercial break and explain
this
things to
Paul,
him.
This is from Paul, and he says, "Hi, Gary. Just some information about the PFWinProgress.com. As I have been helping James while he is away, and every Thursday with reviews and picks, etc. He had a loss in his family while he was in Boston, which is why the website hasn't been updated. I'm continuing with the picks and reviews for this game." If people are wondering what happened
James
in PFW in progress.
Our condolences to James.
He also says, as with the Hall of Fame, if the guys want to nominate a listener each, and I will set up a poll in the forums for people to vote for the first listener to go into the Hall of Fame and the first member of the five on the show, as I am insisting you get in first ballot alone. Can Fred make it known that the website won't be updated for the next few days, but the reviews have been done for the shows in between? Any picks results will be posted in the forums. So
it's more than understandable.
So there you go. So just want to get that update in there.
Should we save that for tomorrow, us nominating a listener for the PFW Hall of Fame?
Sure. I still have to think about that. I don't know if I'm – we have to think through that.
Hey, Andy, we have to get to that story.
Oh, yeah. Can we tell a story?
It's you want really to tell
funny.
A story?
Yeah. I like stories.
I like, yeah.
About hot women just letting themselves into our hotel room?
Well, yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, a little odd. Andy and I are just kind of hanging out in the hotel.
Interested.
Sunday afternoon, we had a long day ahead of us, so we're just kind of lying
music
down.
To play in the background?
Separate beds, by the way, in case anybody gets the wrong idea. So we hear some
you
fiddling
pushed
at
them
the door.
Together, though, right?
Yeah, of course we did. Yeah. We hear some fiddling at the door. Then all of a sudden, a girl walks in the door with a key that works.
Kind of hot.
And they're like, hello.
He was just like, Hawaiian, yeah, hold this. Maybe? And I said, okay.
Yeah, a little Hawaiian-ish ethnic thing going on, a little ethnicity. And apparently, they told her that was her room, and they gave her the key. And the funny part, Andy said, she kept walking in. She, like, puts her key away and is like, okay.
Like, we're strewn
there
about the room. There's luggage, that, you know, the beds are whatever.
Andy had the ironing board out.
Right. And right, she doesn't, like,
don't
when you think your initial reaction is like, whoa, me, back away. She's, like, putting her key away, lets the door close behind her.
Time out. Why are you teaming
as
up
as a girl,
this?
Isn't that, like, your biggest fear, to get stuck in a hotel room
right
with two strange men?
Now you just can't leave.
Right.
It's like Tyson and Desiree Washington, you know, all
right
over again.
You're Tyson.
And I'm Tyson.
So she walks in.
So she eventually leaves. We're like, yeah, maybe you should go down to the
well
front
wait
desk.
Wait, she eventually leaves.
Away.
But what happened in
well
between?
An hour later.
I could always eat your salad.
Oh, what
5 minutes
salad
later. After,
what transpired? Did you
yeah
talk to her or
yeah,
what?
We didn't really
about
chat
what
much.
Like, what do you think would have transpired?
I don't know. I want to know. What happened when
we
she walked
in? We did not have
in
sex with her.
You no come here often?
Hi, I'm Tara.
What happened when she walked in?
Fred is
what
the coolest guy he knows. He yeah would have had a penthouse forum yeah out of this.
What words would have were
well
exchanged?
In the men's club, girls just walk in.
Right.
And,
look,
and
if
you've got to
tell a story, do it right.
Make some things up like Fred
no
would.
What was said when she walked
well
in?
Well, then I asked her, this could be the right room, you know.
Hey, it's Christina.
You said that?
Then I unzipped, yeah.
No, seriously, though.
Well, you're telling me to make stuff up now.
I didn't tell you to make stuff up.
She left!
She left, Fred, okay?
So she just walked in and you guys didn't say anything to her.
We said, like, a back and forth a couple times.
Like what?
Nothing exciting.
Nothing really.
She's like, the key worked, and we were like, yeah, well, so did ours. I don't know. Nothing like, do you want to have sex?
Okay, it gets better.
I didn't. Can we keep talking?
That's not what I'm asking.
You stink at telling stories. Let him tell the damn story.
He was just like, here, hold this.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
This one leaves. 10 minutes later, there's more fiddling at the door. This time, a blonde girl walks in.
Not hot.
Not
ping
really
pong
hot at all. Maybe
overweight
a lesbian.
Lesbian.
Was she overweight?
A little pudgy.
Really? I didn't really notice. I was
and
just kind of looking.
The short, like, mama from Webster haircut.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
On
it
the
wasn't
sides
that good
a little.
So she says, oh.
Lesbo.
And she had a kind of a shocked look on her face and says, are you guys in the army? Like, I don't know. And she's, we're like, well, you're the second guest, so come on in, you know, and then she says, well, did the other girl go to the front desk? I'm like, well, we're assuming that's the case, yes. And so as she leaves, she says, good thing you guys weren't jacking off.
Oh,
no offense.
You can't say that.
Oh, whatever.
What are you talking about, Fred?
You say pussy on the air all the time. What's the difference?
But not in that context.
Say. Whoops.
But so, yeah, she says, you,
sorry,
lucky you guys weren't jacking off. No offense, and walks out.
And just, no offense. The no offense part kind of gets me. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay.
And plus, but why would you even, like,
why even say that?
And why
I mean,
did
two different girls have... Was this escorts? The army
I think
ordered
there's a
escorts
chance they were escorts.
They could have been.
The first one, definitely, because she was hot and done up a little bit. The second one, maybe they...
What we could have said was...
Maybe she thought a female in the army needed an escort, yeah, so she was the lesbian escort.
Would have been funny
did
if
I ever
after,
tell you what happened to me in Toronto?
No.
It happened to me
and
where...
We know you make these up.
I have never made up a story in my life yeah on this show.
This ought to be good. We'll determine whether you made this
no
up.
I was up there with my family, and we had tickets to the Montreal Canadiens, and the hotel was right next to the Forum.
Didn't you say you were in Toronto?
No, it's in Montreal.
Never make anything up.
No, Montreal.
We're in Toronto, and we're going to the Canadiens
this
game.
This is the Montreal trip.
It's just
so
a
anyway,
fun fact. Get your facts right if
we,
you're going to make
them up. We got over to the Forum, and I had to go back to the room to get something. So my wife and kid went in. And I went back to the room, and I get to the room. There's this big black woman, knocking at my door. And, you know, I'm like, can I help you? She goes, did you call for a girl? I'm like, no. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like,
she?
Yeah, I would be sure if I called for a girl. I didn't, you know, call for anyone.
We'll see you
she's like,
next Tuesday.
Okay. So she walks away. I get in the room, and I'm getting what I forgot. I forgot what it was. And the phone rings.
Congress.
And they're like, did you call for a girl? I'm like, no, I did not call for a girl. And they're like, are you sure? Because somebody
you know
from this
Skype
room
is?
Called for a girl. I'm like, look, there's no one else in this room. I didn't call for a girl. And
I don't even care.
So then I hung up the phone.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Connor on this trip?
No, he didn't call. He was a lot younger at that time. But so I hung up the phone. I called the front desk. And I'm like, look, I just had somebody knocking at my door. And somebody called me because they thought – what's going on here?
What kind of hotel you running
yeah,
here?
They're like, oh, we're terribly sorry, sir. We're terribly
kind of
sorry. You know,
you're running.
This is you know.
Housekeeping.
So it can happen.
You should have said when the first person asked you if you called for a girl, you should have said, "What's she look like?" That's what I would have said.
Well, it also happened to me in Atlanta. This is a long, long Jesus. Time ago.
You eat your muffins.
I can't tell a story on this show without just opening up a Fred Kirsch can of worms.
I'm just saying, I was on a business trip and I just happened to pop down into the bar and I just looked around. I went back to my room. Next thing you know, the phone rings. Do you want company? And I'm like, no. you know, 10 minutes later, phone rings again. You sure you don't want to come? Look, I'm going to call the police. You know, but they do. They find out the males that are in rooms by themselves or whatever.
That had to be the case.
And they pay off the front desk. And
yeah,
they,
I'm thinking something's up.
Yeah.
Obviously, you didn't have a sack.
If we said no to the hot girl, why did the ugly girl show up?
Right. Because maybe that's what you guys wanted, you know?
It's true. One was dark-haired, ethnic. Yeah. One was blonde and
yeah.
pudgy,
the
lesbian
first one
fetish.
Didn't appeal to you, and maybe we'll try the next one.
We'll try the total opposite.
I just had the cleaning lady come in my room.
You had her? They're very aggressive in that hotel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She knocks on the door.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, she pinned me down. I couldn't even get up.
Speaking
of
had them.
No, yeah.
So I opened the door.
Yeah,
and
I get rough.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then
just like your mother likes it.
She looks down, and I had the, you know, the do not disturb thing out there because I was, you know, not wanting to be disturbed.
Right.
And
he was jacking off.
I was actually writing the preview.
Come on.
Now you're just making a mockery of the show.
You said we could say it.
No, you can't.
I did not.
Oh. Yes, you did. Fred,
I thought
you
yelled
you
at Fred
it.
For saying we can't.
I yelled at Fred
he's
for saying
for
can't
all
say
of
that.
Me.
I thought you
all
said
the
I
people
say
that.
That
we can't say it.
Spider.
I'm so confused.
Anyway.
Sorry, Gary.
So there was a lot of problems. It was a long Sunday.
I think they struggled with we always check out late. So normally 11 o'clock is checkout or whatever.
Right.
And we, like, hundreds of rooms were still occupied.
But you would think that, you know, these rooms will not be checking out till 4 o'clock.
The cleaning lady walked in on us twice, too.
Yes, we had
two
cleaning
ladies. By the fifth time Paul knocked, I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And it was just Paul.
Because when we went down for dinner, I stopped by their room. It was on my way down. And they looked like they wanted to fight me when I was like, I just thought you might want.
Yeah, you guys were in a bad mood when you came down to eat.
I'm always in a bad mood.
Yeah, he's always. I don't think I was in a bad mood.
I was not
the
way
the workout facility sucked. I wasn't impressed.
You were holding court over at your table, like you had.
Yeah.
You had
Tales
to give
the
round this weekend, Freddie. You were holding court on the bus.
You were wound up.
Press box
on the bus.
You were entertaining.
You were entertaining some member of the Colts, which really disappointed me that you would be so cordial to.
No, he's their webmaster.
Almost a disaster.
Okay.
Yeah. You're recruiting new webmasters?
He's not bad.
Is he available?
He does
discussing trades.
He does more than the webmaster job, though. He does other things for them.
Well, I would hope
like
so.
He's like involved in their video department.
Why don't we bring him aboard? We'll trade him a Ferreira and a player to be named later for him.
Anyway,
who
was I talking to on the bus?
Let's trade for Pelion just so we can fire him.
Who was I?
Sorry, lay him off.
For the next year or so.
You were talking on the bus about some other stuff, and because I remember you were first of all dinner. For 40 minutes, you were yep, and all about all
you
kinds
were.
Of stuff. And
you were all wound
and
up.
And we were on the other table, and we were laughing because you were very excited about it. You were making fun of McCain, like you normally do. Well, actually, it was Palin this time.
Yeah, that crank call.
And then we go,
then we
get on the bus later, and I look at Andy, I go, good to see Freddie still holding court. That's all I could hear was you talking. You weren't being obnoxious or anything. You were just
stories this weekend from Freddie.
I don't remember.
And just so you know, that was your last free ride to St. Elmo's because marketing is swearing off St. Elmo's.
They had a bad experience.
Well, Andy turned out to be right.
Weber Grill, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Weber Grill is
good. I am not going to go back to St. Elmo. I'm going to try something new.
Moe's?
Try Weber Grill.
Maybe Moe's or something, or even go to Ruth's Chris.
Their baked potatoes are on steroids.
Why don't you just go
to that baked potato
Weber Grill with us?
No, I might. I'm saying I'm not going to go to St. Elmo.
They had steaks. They had filet mignon. I mean, we didn't get them.
I bet you they were good.
But everything else that we got was good.
I like those beef skewers in the appetizer platter.
Those are tremendous.
Good stuff, Freddie.
They have a steakhouse at every corner in Indianapolis.
Yeah, baked potato the size of your
middle
foot.
America.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're
meat
back in the 50s and 60s.
Steak
so
and shake.
You didn't enjoy St. Elmo's?
No, I had a good one, but for the food was good. The prices are ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah,
$42 for a ribeye? Come on.
And that's insane.
Marketing got $36 fillets or whatever that were overdone and terrible.
Yeah. No, it's really gone down. I mean, if you're going to keep raising the price, you got to keep
raise the quality.
And they've done the opposite. The price has gone up and the quality's gone down.
Yeah, so
they'll be out of business.
Unfortunately,
soon.
It's one of the more unique steakhouses in the country, but
why?
What is so I've never been there, so
it's old and there's only one of them. It's not a franchise, you know. It's cool. A lot of
it's
famous.
Cool.
No,
they got
it's cool.
they got the shrimp.
You're right. For
the shrimp is good.
The best steaks now that you get, they all seem like they're franchises now.
Yeah,
like, you know the Mortons. Well,
Ruth's Chris.
Shula.
Yep.
Shula's good. Very.
How many
good
you got of these now? 23. 24.
Even Fleming's is a. Isn't that?
I've not tried Fleming's
I don't know
yet.
Fleming's I've never been to.
There's one in Providence.
No, but that's a. That, yeah.
Is it a franchise?
That's a franchise.
Oh, so
too,
it is.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I've had Fleming's.
Nothing like good steakhouse talk.
Well, I like steak.
I love steak. Anything that bleeds or bled at one time, I'll eat.
Never mind.
I just thought of Meet the Fucker. My mom bleeds. Would you eat her?
Oh, see now.
That's just so wrong on so many levels.
I stopped myself short, and he just kept going.
Right. Let's see. Jacobin writes in. He's from Cedar Falls, Iowa. He says, first off, I wanted to say you guys do an amazing job with the show. Fred, you are the funniest of the group because you will blindly defend the Pats no matter what and have the funniest innocent-sounding comments when saying your reasons for defending them. One thing that would be great, though, would be if you guys could get all of your volumes the same. I feel like I can barely hear Mike and sometimes Eric, but don't waste the time in the last part.
My volumes always suck.
Well, that's Gary. He's got to ride the boards. That's what they call
it. He's got to ride the board.
That's what they call it in radio.
Gary, is that even accurate? Is that what they call it in radio, riding the board?
Riding the boards.
Nope.
No, that's true. Anyway.
Fred's worked in radio many years.
Virgin Islands.
After the game was over Sunday night, I was pissed and wanted to beat someone or something, so I threw my pillow at my cat. The cat's okay. But after I cooled down and reflected on the game, New England overall played really well. The defense struggled at times with getting pressure and stopping Manning once he had their offense moving, but they dominated the run and did come up with a couple stops, which is saying something for that defensive backfield. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm pretty sure Castle didn't get sacked. If that's true, I'm pretty sure Obama has it in the bag. Oops, my bad. Continuing on. The O-line did fairly well, opening up some lanes for the running game, and they had two 15-play drives ending with points. I'm sorry, I can't be really upset with how we lost. Granted, we don't want to lose, but we lost surprisingly in a competitive fashion. If Gaffney didn't decide to just drop a ball that was placed in his hands, and Thomas doesn't lay that iffy call for a late hit, then we probably wouldn't have won the game. We probably would have won the game. All in all, the Pats are definitely coming along and improving. What do you guys think? If we can play that type of competitive football, are we a dangerous team or just average?
Well, I agree with the second part there, but the fact that they did drop a sure touchdown and have a costly penalty is why I would be disappointing in how they lost.
Right.
That's my overall point. It's not like, oh, well, competitive back-and-forth game with no intangibles. Well, there were two big intangibles.
But they didn't get outplayed.
No.
And I think that's the point.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Zone they did, though.
I thought there were a lot of things to be excited about the future, but you just have to make sure that the things that went wrong, red zone, ill-timed penalties, coaching.
And that's exactly what Bill said in his conference
call. Make sure that they don't linger.
They did a lot of things well. If they can fix the few things they didn't, they'll be fine.
They were outplayed
in the red
zone.
Although he didn't say out-coached.
Well, that's basically him coming out and saying, you know, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have.
Right.
I would have gone for it. You know,
I know, but how many times has he said
we have to coach?
We got out
coach it better, play it better.
Well, he says we have to coach it better. Generally,
he has said we got out coached.
But I don't know.
We got out tackled.
To suggest you,
everyone needs to do better. Coaches, players, assistants.
I'm not sure I heard that this week. When I think this is the specific week that's true and accurate.
Couldn't tell you. I was on the Colts side. You have to tell me.
Jason,
you were busy missing Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
Jason in Chiba, Japan. Is it okay to question the coaching from Sunday night's loss? I'm not sure if I'm stepping off the deep end here with Fred, but there seem to be quite a few moments worth questioning from the game. Why are we challenging plays that obviously aren't going to be overturned? Why, failing that, are we calling our last timeout to get our field goal team on the field when that would have been a perfectly good option without the timeout? Seriously, have you ever seen Bill second-guess himself like that? What in the hell is with the short passing? I know they're jamming Randy with help over the top. Can't the vaunted, athletic, incredible Ben play like Jane Watson, get deep on a linebacker? Can't Jab go deep twice and hold on to the freaking ball the second time? I saw a timid team on Sunday night. Perhaps it isn't Castle that needs a safety blanket. I'm just saying.
The first part of it, Bill didn't challenge it thinking it was there was no their way they were going to win it.
We're not going to get
in fact,
this,
I think he challenged
hell?
It thinking there's it no obvious. Way we lose this. No this is a freebie.
That's why you challenge most of them.
And no, Gaffney can't go deep twice because I don't think he's that good. I think that Jabari Gaffney running a go is a trick play,
that's
essentially.
The shame.
It's a catching
that's
him.
The shame. You got to hit it.
Right.
You got to hit it.
Randy Moss can go deep multiple times. You might have multiple chances there. You don't with Jabari Gaffney.
Let's see. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Hey, guys, and Eric, I really thought the play calling was poor, especially towards the end of the first half. I thought Castle played a very solid game, as did the O-line. I can't remember a game where so many of the play calls seemed questionable. Every time they got inside the 40, they would get very conservative. Is Castle guilty of not checking off, or did the coaching just suck? This is a game they should have won.
That's what Andy and I weren't doing in our hotels.
Checking off.
Checking off.
Funny.
Let's see.
It was funny.
A lot of emails.
A lot of emails coming in.
They're all saying the same thing.
Coaching sucked.
Coaching sucks. Why do we go for this player?
Except for that one guy who still wants to hang Cassel.
I still
give us the different stuff here.
I still don't have a problem with the timeout before the fourth and one. If he thought it was inches and then realized it was a yard, and
I think if he had a different quarterback, he doesn't.
I think with a crucial play like that, you have to make sure you have what you want, and I don't think he was sure he had what he wanted. I don't have a problem with the timeout. Now,
but why would the quarterback make a difference?
I like Andy's thing.
It's a QB sneak.
I think the quarterback might have made a difference with him going for when he called the timeout and chose to kick the field goal.
Right. Fourth and one, maybe he throws it with Brady.
Right. That's the only thing.
In terms of going for it with a QB sneak,
I don't think
you could argue Matt Castle's a better athlete.
And he's also shown that he can get the
why
like
couldn't
Brady
they sneak
did.
On fourth and one?
Another aspect, by the way. What?
Then why couldn't they sneak on fourth and one?
Because he thought it was too long for a QB sneak, not Matt Castle.
Brady gets 3 yards a sneak.
Yes, they've gotten those in the past, but
they
I don't.
A lot of those in the past. They rarely just make it, and you know.
And they
that.
Also have oh, it where Brady checks
that.
Off.
I don't know.
They also have it where they've come to the fourth and one where he checks off.
Yes.
If there's a guy in the gap, he checks to a pass. If there's no guy in the gap, he runs it. And sometimes they get a couple yards on those. But
when they have a,
they called
a
QB sneak to just call a QB sneak, and he decided it was too long for a QB sneak. That's why he called the timeout. I don't think it would have changed with Brady under center.
I do. I think he didn't like what he had
right.
on the field. That's why
now,
I don't have
the
a
biggest
problem.
Problem
it was
is
a crucial play.
I still think he got caught with his pants down. Like the hectic nature of the measurement thing.
Yeah, to me,
that's the other thing. He's done that a million times in the past. When I would have, as an official, said, I can see from my house that it's a yard and a half.
There was one that they gave earlier in the game that the first down mark had to be over the line, and the ball was short of the line, and they still gave him the measurement.
I remember that.
They still gave him the measurement.
Yep.
It was, you know, and it was only like inches, but the ball was short of the yard mark, and the first down mark was on the other side of the yard mark.
So it was very strange because we've seen him do that, not only call for it, but then he walks all the way down because he wants to visually see exactly what the distance is when they measure it. He doesn't even take the refs.
Yeah, Bill couldn't be a college basketball coach.
Oh, no. Lots of technicals.
Oh, somebody's at the door.
Hey, guys. This is your favorite flight attendant, Karen. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I got that can of soda for you, Freddie. So put your seat back and tray table up and quit your bitching, huh?
Today's is a good one, and it's in reference to Mike's little story about our visitors. It's a verb, and it's Pepsi Guy. That's Pepsi Guy, but it's a verb. I'll read you the sentence. Dude, the other night at this party, the Pepsi guy Pepsi-guyed these two chicks. And it's perfect for the little story because it involves a hot chick.
Nothing to do with that story.
Why, there was a hot chick and a fat chick. Oh, I thought it was
about Pepsi.
And Fred expected us to Pepsi guy the girls
that came
to the door.
I just wanted a full story.
What'd you do then?
I want the dialogue between the people.
It's not penthouse form. Fred.
Right.
That's
we
not what I'm looking for. You assume that that's what I'm looking for. I'm just looking
for
a complete...
And her luscious breast popped free from her...
I don't want you to leave the picture half painted. Paint the whole picture.
I did paint the whole picture.
Oh, we painted it all right.
A nice off-white color.
Oh, see now? Jeez.
You know, in this
And people wonder why I don't have any sound bites from you.
Oh, yeah, it's all me. I know.
There's nothing I can play back from you.
That's
There's
a load nothing
of crap.
I can do with that.
I can't have this kind of
language. Because you don't have the sound levels up. That's why you have no sound bites in me.
Because you're whispering.
No, because you make dirty little jokes very quietly in the background.
So
no, he does it loudly.
Mike, when you were a kid, did your mother slap you a lot?
No, I was a very good kid.
Okay. Because I could just see you like mumbling under your breath to her a lot.
No.
Just bang!
No.
I gave you something to mumble about.
Right.
A quick question. Yeah. Why do the candidates have to go back to their hometowns to vote? Why couldn't they just do an absentee ballot and continue?
It's kind of symbolic.
So it's just
it's
a photo
just a PR
op.
Move.
Yeah, it's just symbolic. Yeah.
There you go.
Is that loud enough for you, Gary? Okay.
What do you say?
It's just a fun fact.
By Raytheon.
Are we leaving soon?
Do you have something? What?
Yes.
Gary, we have to end a little early, about 10 minutes from now.
Can't Mike just stay and finish
the
show?
Oh, Mike can stay. With,
oh, okay.
With Gary.
The other guy can host. Great.
We have to
Where are you going?
Neckin needs us to get there early because it's election night, and they need us to be there promptly at 2:30 so we can start filming the TV show.
And I got
to
get a little makeup
When's the
on
TV
this
show
horn
run?
I'm growing.
Well, it's not going to run until tomorrow night, actually.
Got to get there early so it can be
You wouldn't get
late.
Many viewers tonight.
Yeah, so just – that's a – thank you, Gary. Just so if anyone's looking
thank
for
you,
the
Robert.
Neckin show tomorrow morning, You won't. It won't be on the website till Thursday morning because it's not running on TV till Wednesday night to the election coverage tonight. So
put it on our site tonight.
Yeah, we can't.
That's not happening.
We can't jump the gun like that. We got to give Neckin first shot at
it. Would that void our lucrative long-term deal with Neckin?
Well, it would hurt the ratings. It would hurt the ratings.
Yeah, that's true. My mom might go online and watch it instead of waiting.
Hey, you were right about those video screens in the chairs. They're awesome.
Oh, on the plane, yes. Oh, fantastic. I watched another crappy Fred Kirsch recommended movie this week, Tropic Thunder.
It was a good movie.
It wasn't that bad. It was okay.
Sounds like something I did in the bathroom last night.
Sucked. Oh, hey now.
Tropic Thunder.
In Mexico when you drank
the
water.
Right at the beginning when the guy had an energy drink called Booty Sweat.
Yeah.
And he bust a nut bar. Oops, sorry. It's an actual product.
It was a
film.
Good movie.
At this point, it
was not very funny. Very funny.
First of all,
Gary, what did you
as
watch?
Far as can be from
did you
very
watch
funny.
Anything?
He didn't realize there were movies until the last 10
I
minutes.
I didn't because it said movies next to HBO.
Well,
so
it was
I
a short
was
flight.
HBO
you had to pick
movies.
One that was under 2 hours.
I didn't have time for the
yeah,
Dark
Eric
Knight.
Was watching the Dark
like Eric
Knight
watches the Dark Knight and got like halfway through it.
Yeah, and then on the flight back, was fast forwarding trying to pick up and
never he ruined it.
It's not a DVR.
You don't watch a movie like that on a little 2-inch screen on an airplane.
It's okay for a crappy movie like Tropic Thunder.
But I actually was watching 3 college football games at the same time. I kept every play. I just kept changing channels.
I thought Tom Cruise stole the show though in Tropic Thunder.
Who?
Tom Cruise.
I thought it was great. That was hysterical.
It took me a while to figure out it was him.
Yeah.
I hate to admit
a while
that.
Or a minute, an hour 47 actually. Into yeah. an hour 48.
I really
when he gets
tell
on the phone
him.
And starts, I will, that was
when
great
he's swearing.
Stuff.
I like, you know, I like foul mouth humor. It's funny to me.
It was.
Andy, you know, he has this preconceived thing. If Fred likes it, I'm just going to not like it no matter what.
For a guy who's very unsophisticated, I'm surprised you didn't like that.
Well, see, now it's two different things. Fred says it was too much subtle humor.
There was
and
a lot of subtle humor.
And
yes.
now Mike's saying I don't get it because it's too vulgar
and there was both.
Tirades of...
It was fun for the whole family.
No, it wasn't.
Which
it
family?
Was a fun fact.
The Manson family.
Right. It was a check your watch kind of movie.
Oh
come you're
on. You're a fool. Brent from Illinois says, what a disappointing game on so many levels. First, who would have thought that Castle would play very well and the receivers would let him down? Second, a stupid penalty cost the game, basically. Bill Belichick cannot control the clock and uses a really silly challenge early in the half. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis looks like his legs cannot stop moving, and he looks pretty good. Now, what is going on with the drops? Come on, wide receivers, step up. And so what did you guys think about the Colts Stadium, and was Fred's arch nemesis Bill Polian in the press box still?
No. I did see him, but not in the press area. Right. He was over by the other side. But yeah, the stadium was outstanding. Very
beautiful.
Fantastic.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Best I've ever been to.
It's an intriguing stadium. It's a lot to look at.
It's a top three stadium for me.
Top three?
I think Reliant is up there.
I still like
Reliant. Yeah, Reliant would be number two for me. But I like this.
This
the big window
great,
in the
though.
End puts this one over the top for me that opens up into the city.
About Ford Field?
Ford Field.
I love Ford Field, and I also like Invesco in Denver.
They're all designed similarly, too, like Ford Field and
very similar.
This stadium
warehouse.
And
the
warehouse
look.
Yeah. I like that look.
But just the sheer size of this place was
tremendous.
The footprint that it – that was really, really
and
big.
It's funny. It's actually a small stadium.
Yeah,
it's only 66,000.
Yeah. And I was going to say they did a nice job like they did here of not going overboard with the capacity. That's one of the things I really do like about Gillette was they kept it at 68. And I think, you know,
it's
like FedEx Field is 90-whatever thousand. I don't like
They add like 1,000 a year.
I don't like that. It's not college, you know.
But I like what Dallas is doing. They're making it – whatever it is, 78,000 expandable to 100 for the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that's a good
– or a big college game that comes in.
Right. But 66 is a little small for
I like
Super Bowl,
Ford
though.
Field because they have an open press box so you get the crowd noise.
They don't have any –
but you can't always do that in Indy because they have an open roof and you could open that big window in the
And
back.
The roof was open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The roof was open during the game,
And
yes.
the window was too until it wasn't.
And then it closed.
Yeah, we turned our heads in that window. That big giant window is shut.
That's certainly not one of those, like, it takes 12 minutes to close. No. That thing must just zip close.
Yeah, closed while Bilo and I were doing the on-field after the end of the game, our little thing for Patriots today.
It's a very it's a fascinating stadium. It really is.
And different.
Yeah.
It has its own unique features.
Yeah.
It has, I think a lot like Dallas, has that continuous metal frame on both sides parallel to the field, the two main supports.
Yep.
And then the scoreboards on the angle is a little different
in
on the
corners.
Two corners.
Yep.
I like that
those
idea.
Those are impressive, those scoreboards. They're pretty good.
I think some of the things that they tried to do a little different, they hit on. But the massive size is the most memorable thing.
Yeah.
Like when we drove down in the bus, it was a steep – it felt like we were 100 feet below ground or
something. Yeah, there's a lot to that stadium.
And it's just like buses under there, Magnum cruisers.
You know, like you guys make fun of me because I find all the shortcuts through the stadium. Can you imagine all the secret passages in that place?
Yes. Well, you can probably get like over to St. Elmo's through some tunnel.
Yeah.
Although Chris, you don't go there anymore.
Chris from the Bronx just wanted to write in and say how much I agree with the idea that Belichick doesn't trust Castle yet, but I think Sunday's game showed that he is getting more trustworthy every week. As disappointing as the game was, it's encouraging that the team is hitting their stride just in time for some intra-conference action. I hope that, like the Rams' regular season game in 01, this will give them some momentum for the second half of the year. I think that the offense can open up so we don't have to witness so many draws and screens on third down and long, and instead trust Castle to get the job done. Thanks a lot. Now go out and vote.
I would agree with Chris's we talked about Denver, Fred.
Yep.
That St. Louis game, very much so.
Yep.
Very.
I have a question that was posed to me.
A loss that did a lot of good as well.
Can you not open it up with Castle for fear of turning the ball over and putting the defense on the field more often, a defense that you may not have confidence in at this point? That's one school of thought. That was brought up to me on a radio show, and I said, well, I kind of take the opposite, where I say, you have a defense you don't have confidence in, and you know you're probably going to get in some shootouts at times.
Let's not try to win 18-50.
So at some point, we need to open it up and have confidence in the quarterback to keep up in a shootout.
Yeah.
Which side of that coin would you fall on?
Yeah. Interesting.
It can work
both ways.
Because apparently Bill is falling on the, let's try to keep it to a low possession game. I'll go for two and try to win a tight game.
Can we go devil's advocate and say Castle has done a pretty good job of protecting the football, but there have been some near misses in the red zone, St. Mm-hmm. Louis even.
Hit the guy in the chest.
Yeah, guy dropped a touchdown.
Fakir?
Guy dropped an interception in the end zone, and they later scored the touchdown,
Fakir.
Or a field goal maybe on that drive. So maybe he's looking at it that way.
Fakir?
That's devil's advocate. I think he needs to let him.
All right.
I think he needs to live with some mistakes.
What do you know? All right, we have to, Paul, Andy, and I have to get going. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike will wrap up the show with Gary, get to any undone emails, and then we will see you tomorrow on this show. Goodbye.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son. Graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship of the History Books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint flight classes free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution. Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've kind of got a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you. I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to the final few minutes of PFW in Progress. This is Mike filling in for the rest of the crew that gets to go do TV shows.
We can talk bad about them now?
And I can get left behind. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously the Matt Castle of this group where they haven't taken the training wheels off and I'm not good enough to do TV. Or perhaps I have a face for radio.
I think they only have three chairs.
What do you think, Gary?
I think they only have three chairs.
I think you're just trying to say I'm ugly and you're trying to be nice about it.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, thank you. At least not to my face.
You're the best dressed member of the staff, clearly.
That's a very good point, yeah. Well, anyway, we have about 3 minutes to go here. A couple more emails to read. Somebody kind of pointed out sarcastically how our poster of the week in PFW is Jabbar Gaffney. How ironic is that? And just to keep in mind, we put that issue out before the game's actually played. So had Jabbar Gaffney caught that pass and scored the touchdown, you'd all be telling us we were geniuses with our foresight for realizing that Jabbar Gaffney would catch a big touchdown pass. And obviously that did not happen, so our post looks a little bit stupid. A couple more emails here. I think we've probably read all these. Our friend Walter tells us the coaching staff psyched themselves out on Sunday. If they had just played more aggressively, it would have been a blowout. Hey, look at this. John Rook is in the building. trying to turn the mic on.
Did they leave alone?
Yeah, they're all doing the big timers doing the TV show today.
Oh, so.
And they have to leave early because of construction. I guess there's some election tonight. They're voting for somebody. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This from the guy who leaves Eric alone once a week.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Rook.
Okay, Rook. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
I was going to say, I did like 17 hours of radio. Getting overtime for that at all.
No overtime for the radio?
At least an extra sandwich on lunch days, maybe.
So have you been soloing for 2 hours today?
No. Just for the last
30
seconds since you walked in.
Oh, I see.
They had to leave a little bit early today to get there like promptly at 2:30. You know, otherwise the whole thing goes down the tubes. And we wouldn't want that for the people who watch PFW TV.
Right. Absolutely. We don't.
So how's it going there, John?
It's going well. I voted already. Did you vote today?
Not yet. I will be heading after work.
You will
probably be standing in 5-hour lines.
Exercise your right to vote. Yes, you must.
No lines for me, Mike.
Yeah, but you went already though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaving. You know, work when everybody else is leaving work for the day. That's going to be a disaster tonight.
Which is when?
5 o'clock, I guess.
Fred's not coming back. Leave after the show.
I'm not leaving after the show. I have a job to do. I stay here. I do my how many hours of work? 8 hours. Actually, I come in a half hour late almost every day.
Yeah?
You know, working out, coming in, you know.
So now you're letting us know the secret.
Yep. Show up late, leave early.
Gotcha. All right. I'm left with an overwhelmingly disappointing feeling from
Sunday night. Yeah, absolutely.
Overwhelmingly disappointed. That was a game the Patriots, there's just no doubt in my mind, should have won.
Well, you know, it's funny. We talked about on the show, and the guys seem to think it's a good loss to build on.
No, there's nothing.
Not
good
in this
about
playoff
it.
Race, John. There are too many teams
it.
In this logjam now where you can't afford setbacks like that. And my whole thing, and I agree with you, the way they lost, some questionable coaching decisions,
mm-hmm.
bad fourth down play,
mm-hmm.
bad red zone offense,
mm-hmm.
a drop by Jabbar Gaffney,
mm-hmm.
a penalty on Dave Thomas.
A lot of stuff.
Those aren't good things.
Nope.
And this inability to score in the red zone, which we thought had been solved, suddenly comes back to bite him in the ass again. And now we don't know if it's going to progress going forward.
And one
that's
of the reasons,
been an issue all year.
And one of the times they didn't score in the red zone was the coach's own doing when he called the timeout to go for
yeah.
the field goal.
And we had the fourth about down that. Day. I said and they don't agree with me. I said if Brady's back there, they go for it, whether it's fourth and one, 1.5.
I would agree.
Like I said, he gets 3 yards a sneak.
It's a
John.
Bad, it was a bad call. Okay,
it was.
And again, it comes down to, and I'm going to jump into this a little bit inside the playbook, but you know, it basically boils down to: are you willing to give Coach Belichick the benefit of the doubt because of all the great calls
right.
that he's made over the years? And frankly, yeah, I think you're willing to give him.
And you still would after this game regardless.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, if he's going to make a decision, absolutely. He's earned that right,
I think.
I don't disagree with that. But the fact is that this particular call, this particular move was a bad one, and it was a bad one for a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad one, number one, because you made the dadgum first down.
Right, you had it
and
anyway.
I don't even know where to begin.
Way too conservative.
Yes, it was way too conservative. Number one, you had no business calling a timeout there when you'd already blown it on a missed red flag mm-hmm. opportunity early in the game, number two. And number three, because your red zone offense is so soft, damn it, push the ball in there.
Exactly. Make something happen.
Make something
instead
exactly.
of waiting for something.
Instead
to
of
happen.
Waiting for something to happen, take charge and make it happen. And I think that they failed on all three accounts miserably in that particular instance.
One last thing before I go. Any good college football games this weekend?
Let's see. I will be keeping a close eye on Texas Tech and Oklahoma State.
All right, your buddy Strippers is already chiming in.
I'm sure he is.
You Guns know, up, baby.
Yeah, you know what? He's such a loser.
He is.
He's such an incredible
we
loser.
We like Strippers, though.
I mean, I realize
see, he's
that.
Already he's already see, coming
yeah.
at you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, one of these days.
Strippers provides us with a lot of our lowbrow humor.
First of all, he's an Oklahoma fan, so what does that mean?
Yeah, so.
Lowbrow humor, Oklahoma, okay? Equate the two.
Wow.
Strippers, you know why Texas doesn't fall in the Gulf of Mexico, don't you? Because Oklahoma sucks.
What's the punchline? You just threw an insult out there.
No, I said Texas doesn't fall in the Gulf of Mexico because Oklahoma sucks.
I love it.
There you go.
It's going to be a good show for you today. Any good guests coming up today?
Mark Kelso, who covers the Bills on their radio
oh.
broadcast network.
get the scoop on what's going down with the Bills. What's three out of four they've Bills, lost now they've all of a sudden.
They're reeling a little bit. So we'll
turning
see
back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, we'll see if we can't get some of the inside scoop. And I'm assuming B-Low's in the second hour. Is that correct? Yes.
All right.
Ryan Lowe from the Fantasy Lowdown.
Good.
And Patriots Today will join us in hour two.
Just so you know, I'm 8-1. I don't need B-Low's tips.
You don't want any B-Low's tips?
He may bring me down.
Is that right? You're rolling yourself?
I think I should do the show. Because I am blowing the competition out of the water.
Really? So give us.
Well, we could make that happen if you'd like to do the show.
No, actually, no, I'm all set. Second thought, you know, I've won seven in a row now in my league.
Wow.
Yeah, I am on cruise control.
What's the secret? The draft or
the secret? Yeah. Quarterback Eli Manning.
There you go. Was he your top pick?
No, but I ended up getting him later, and he became my starter due to my loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, my team is named Eli for president, so it wouldn't look good if I had Ben Roethlisberger starting, and Roethlisberger can't throw anyway. So,
all right.
I guess so that's going to do it for us then.
You got
right?
lucky on a quarterback.
I got lucky.
Pick.
He did.
Very nice.
Well, anyway, stay tuned, people, because we have John Rook in for the Patriot Playbook. I'm Mike Parenti. I'm sure the rest of the guys, if they were here, would say goodbye too. See you tomorrow.
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.